Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who hung out with Debbie on 420 and got really fake stoned, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. And what a big show we have for you guys today, because Tyson is coming back to talk about the two-hour episode. Always a lot of fun when we get Tyson on. We almost never hear from Tyson anymore, so it's nice to get him back onto the podcast. And so we will go through everything in all in one show. We're going to be taking your questions. We're going to be talking to Tyson. We're going to take your voicemail. We're going to do social media. We're going to jam it all into one supersized episode of the podcast here with Tyson. So looking forward to that. Last night, we talked with Stephen Fishback, had a lot of interesting conversation about what's going on here at the Merge in the Game Changers. And then I had my double exit interview, talked with both Haley and Ozzy this morning. We're going to be completing, as Alex Kidwell told me, the prophecy of Haley, Joel, Ozzy, as we talked to Haley and Ozzy, and Joel from Big Brother Canada 4 will be on with Jordan Parhar on the Happy Hour later on Thursday night. So what a day here on Rob Has a Podcast. Make sure you don't miss any of it when you subscribe. RobHasAWebsite.com/iTunes. Plus, I'm going to have an extra Survivor podcast. While we're going to do everything here with Tyson, I don't want to short you guys a show. I'm going to catch up with Natalie Anderson as well over this weekend. So be on the lookout for that show coming up in your feed. We'll get into everything with her. Somebody who at one point could have also been one of the game changers we're dealing with. So we'll talk with Natalie Anderson. Before we get to Tyson, I just want to take a moment and mention the patron program of Rob Has a Podcast. As many of you guys know, I don't talk about it a ton. A lot of times at the end of the podcast, I will mention what we're doing on Patreon. Patreon is a system which is like a monthly Kickstarter, which allows people to help crowdfund all of the podcasting that we're doing. I talk a lot about all of the extra shows that we do. I do a weekly show with the First Lady of Podcasting, Nicole Cesternino, and a monthly show where I end up taking your calls, which I'm going to be doing again on Tuesday. But what I don't talk about enough is the patron community of Rob Has a Podcast. I hear from so many people that before they ended up becoming a patron and being a part of the Facebook group, they didn't have anybody in their lives to be talking about Survivor with. We have so many people that have made a lot of good Survivor fan friends because of the patron community. It's a really great thing. Whenever we do our live shows, I get to see how much that this community has brought all of these people together from all over the country and really the world. That's one of the incentives that comes along with being a patron of the podcast. That's at the $10 level. You can hear all of the extra shows for just the $5 level. Find out more about everything that we're doing for the patrons, from all of the discounts on audiobooks and stuff like that. RobHasAWebsite.com/Patron. That's RobHasAWebsite.com/patron. And again, thanks so much to the many hundreds of you that go on and support these shows. And I could not be doing all of this nonsense and spending my entire day talking to Tyson without you. All right, everybody. I'm very excited to bring in this biannual Survivor rite of passage once again. It's now become attached to the two-hour episode, wherever it may land. For the 107th time, here is the great Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
I'm so good. Is 107 an exact number? Is that including all of our podcasts, or is that a number you just made up?
If I was going to include all of our podcasts, it might be close to the ballpark. But no, I've lost track of what Tyson cast this is in terms of Survivor.
Yeah, I have too. But it's got to be like 8-ish, right?
It's got to be up there. It's got to be up there. And Tyson, I meant to also introduce you as the winner of Survivor Blood Water.
Yeah, Blood Water.
That's what Brad Culpepper calls it.
Yeah, that was a good episode. That was a good season.
Yeah, he loved Blood Water.
Yeah, it's one of the best seasons. Survivor Blood Water season 27.
Do you ever
call the second Blood Water?
Yeah,
the first Blood Water.
That's Sam Wandel, sir. Is the second is Blood Water 2. But do you ever call it Blood Water?
No, I call it Blood versus Water.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody from the cast call it Blood Water?
Apparently Brad Culpepper.
What about Monica?
No, I feel like that's probably a signature Brad title.
Okay. All right. Well, Tyson, great to have you back. I mean, it has been since Tuesday since we've done a podcast. So it's
It seems forever ago.
Seems like forever. Of course, Tyson, myself, and Danny Bryson are podcasting away every week on News AF, talking about the most important news stories of the week covering that show, which comes very, it's a critical darling, Tyson.
Yes. I think it's one of the top 10 RHAP shows that you can actually download, right?
Yeah.
So, top 10?
Undeniably top 10. So thank you guys so much for joining us here today as Tyson and I will go through things that are not related to internet news, and we're actually going to talk about Survivor today. So Tyson, first off, how are you feeling about the Game Changers?
As people or the season?
The season
or
as
what?
A whole. Are you in or are you out?
I'm in. I like the season.
Good.
It's good.
Good.
You get enough game players together, it's fun to watch.
Yes. So it's very exciting to be at this point. We finally hit the merge, and really all hell was breaking loose by the end of the second hour last night, Tyson.
Yeah, just the way we like it.
Just the way that we like it. All right, so just talk to me like big picture in terms of how the season has gone so far. There's been a lot of the big names go out. Also, Ozzy, another big name, goes down last night. Are
yes.
you surprised that this is the direction that the season is starting to go or has gone?
No. I'm surprised some of these guys didn't go earlier. And it's you never know with the returning seasons. It's always unpredictable, but Ozzy going, that's like the time for him to go, like early merge.
Okay. Let me back this up a little bit then. So
let's start from the start.
Let's pull back the curtain a little bit. So last May, when you and I were sitting eating breakfast after breakfast at the Peppermill Resort in Reno, when these Survivor players were leaving for this season.
Yes.
Is this anything like what we had in mind when we heard these are the people that are going, and then we're going to get to this point, and this is going to be the final 11?
I don't think we knew enough about it. We knew some of the people that were going. We knew did we even know the premise at that point?
No, we certainly did not know it was Game Changers.
Yeah.
Right.
So we were thinking maybe it was like, because some winners were being invited back, we were thinking it was like champions versus runners up or a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
And we could have never imagined.
We could have never imagined that here we would be at the merge here on April 20th. Happy 420, Tyson.
Oh, it's 420. Nice, dude.
Yeah.
And I have 420. I'm following 420 people on Instagram.
On Insta.
So that's quite...
Yeah.
Yeah, on the Insta.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've liked the season. I mean, it's interesting. Sierra going first, that's a hard blow mm-hmm. for a friend. You know, that's the type of player. You know, she's going to go earlier. She's going to get into the jury, no problem. I think that's if she can squeak by two votes, all of a sudden people forget about getting rid of her early and going after the targets.
I know you talked with Sierra before she went to go play in Cambodia. Did you give her any advice before she went to go play Game Changers?
I mean,
and if so, is she mad at you?
No, she's not mad at me. I probably gave her a little bit of advice, but I gave her more advice in Cambodia. I mean, her thing to get past those first few votes early is that she needs to be physically fit enough to help in the challenges. Because if you're physically fit, then you don't have to stick your neck out to do a puzzle.
Yeah. So you like told her to do CrossFit?
Yeah, CrossFit. She proved to everybody how good you are at exercising. No, it's just like you don't have to be the best by any means, but you can't be like the bottom two or three that are forced to do the puzzle because they can't help with the lifting or the pushing or the pulling or whatever the physical aspect of it is.
You say something very interesting. I've never heard it described as being forced to do the puzzle, where I think that some people say, okay, oh, put me in that spot. I'm the puzzle solver, but
you have the puzzle solver, but you also have the people who they volunteer to do the puzzle because they know that physically they're not going to be able to do the physical stuff.
Yeah.
Or they're going to slow the physical aspect of it down. So they resort to volunteering to do the puzzle. I think that often happens. you don't see the big strong guys volunteering to do the puzzles very often.
Yeah, this is a great point, because if I'm out there in like the middle part of the challenge, there's not too often where, unless it's a complete disaster, where me screwing up the middle part of the challenge, the tribe is going to go back and look at it. Oh, the reason why we lost was because
correct.
Rob was too slow carrying the beanbags from one part of the course to the other. It happens correct. Sometimes.
Yeah, it happens sometimes, but you really, really have to blow it. And that's where being in average physical shape is an asset.
Yeah.
And so I think that's for someone like Sierra, that's what you have to go into the game with, is that, you know, get in as good a shape as you can so that you can contribute physically instead of halving to resort to being the one to do the puzzle just because you know that physically you're not going to be capable of the other stuff.
And that's what I'm aspiring to do. I want to, like, my goal is to get to average physical shape.
Perfect. You'll be in perfect condition to play Survivor at that point.
Yeah, I'm closing in. All right. So let's talk about last night specifically and Ozzy going out of the game. And, you know, Ozzy had a boot, and I said this last night on the Know-It-Alls, that it was similar to the way that they came after you in Survivor Token Sheens, where, you were immune and you had won a couple challenges. You actually had won the challenge that Ozzy did not win last night, the time
correct.
Before. Was that the first or the second immunity challenge?
That was the first one, and then the second one was like the jumping through the bamboo jungle gym with a rope attached to you.
Okay, yeah. And
rope-a-dope is what they call it, I believe.
Perfect. And so Ozzy ultimately goes out as soon as, you know, sort of like a predictable Ozzy move to target him when he's not immune, very, very early after the merge. And I just wanted to get your take on, should Ozzy have seen this coming, Tyson?
100% yes.
Okay.
It's the... Ozzy, I mean, sure, he's a Survivor legend, but you can't come back and play the same game that hasn't won you the million expecting to win the million and then being shocked when the exact same outcome happens.
Yeah.
Like, Ozzy, don't go fishing on your fifth time. I tweeted that out last night, but it's true. When you go fishing, that gives everyone an opportunity to talk about you. Going fishing hasn't won you the game the four times you've played. So why are you thinking that going fishing is ultimately going to keep you in this game? It doesn't matter. If everybody's starving, everybody's starving. And I think everybody understands that.
Yeah.
It's like, can I starve better than the people around me? I feel like I can. So whatever, if we don't have fish, that's hard on everybody, not just me. It's even, still even.
Let me throw a theory out there.
Okay.
Ozzy just likes to go fishing.
Yes, that's correct.
I think we cracked this case because...
So why don't you go on vacation and not have the heartbreak of getting voted off Survivor?
Well, you can have CBS pay for it. Why not just keep going back out on Survivor?
He's probably fishing on the jury as we speak, you know? That's the thing.
I watched the Ponderosa video and...
Did he go fishing?
Well, he went to the market and bought a giant fish.
God damn.
So maybe he doesn't love fishing. Maybe he just loves fish.
He just loves fish. Yeah, that could be.
Seafood guy. I mean, he works in the restaurant business.
Yeah, he does. He's in the biz. So, yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe he loves fish so much that he doesn't care. But you know how much fish $1 million could buy?
Oh, that's true. That's true. But I guess he can't just, you know, kick the habit that he's out there. He's like, oh, I'm so close to the ocean. I could be fishing
right now. I'm jonesing. I am jonesing for some fish.
And then maybe he just tries to sort of like guilt people into, okay, I'm going out fishing for you. I'm going out and I'm doing it for you. Go out fishing. It's not for me. I don't like fishing. It's sort of like when I have to go and podcast, but then I, you know, attempt, and my wife wants to get mad at me for like, oh, you're never around. You're doing like, hey, I do this for you.
This puts fish on your table.
Yes, yes, yes.
This podcasting puts fish on your table, Nicole.
Do you think I want to be talking to Tyson all day today? No, I would much rather be down here helping you. But I have to.
And it's
true. I'm providing for everybody.
Yeah, you're providing fish.
So,
well, that's the thing. But that has never worked for him.
Because he has to know, right, that people will still vote you out even if Ozzy gets you fish.
Yeah. And what Brad should have done is just gone around and been like, hey, guys, I can actually fish, too. It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we need fish, other people can get fish. It's just that everybody else understands that in Survivor, you need to hover around the majority at all times.
Yeah. So Ozzy likes doing that part of the game. I think that, you know, the way he looks at the game is sort of he just wants to be, you know, have fun, not have to, you know, be too schemey. He wants to go fishing.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people accuse him of not being a social player, but socially with fish, he's probably number one.
With the actual fish?
With the actual fish.
No, he's killing them. He's like a mass murderer.
Yeah, but he could be the fish whisperer and kind of like lure him in. And that's how you play Survivor. You lure people in with your social skills and then stab them in the face or wherever he's stabbing those endangered stingrays.
Yeah, Tyson, maybe if you could have given advice to Ozzy, if you sort of could have like told him that made sort of the analogy of how the game of Survivor is like spearfishing, is like going out there.
Be a fisher of men, like Jesus.
Like Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then stab him in the back.
Wow. Tyson, instead of Sierra, you should have been calling Ozzy.
Ozzy should have called me. If he wins $1 million, I don't see how that's going to change my life at all.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Talk about your own version of like looking back at what you could do differently, because you came back in your third time and played your best game, whereas other people and many of the people this season have come out and done worse than they did their second time. And there's been a lot of people that keep doing worse.
Tony. I mean, if he could have, like, somewhere in his contract ensured that he had another Tyler Perry idol, he would have been okay for a little while.
Well, you were always, from the get-go, that we talked to you during Survivor Kageyan, and you talked about, when we were talking about, you know, Spencer winning or Tony winning, you said that you would rather play with whatever one of them wins because they're not going to know what could possibly go wrong.
Correct. And Tony proved that.
Tony, you're ahead of the, you know, I don't think you get enough credit for your Survivor wisdom.
I get a lot of credit for it, but I definitely am very, very smart.
Definitely. Definitely.
No, but like, that's the thing. Like, Tony went out there and proved my point exactly. And it's like, and he, if he played a third time, he'd make the exact same mistakes because that's Tony. It worked for him once. It worked for him amazingly well, but he also had the Tyler Perry idol and some other advantages that he didn't have this time around. And it's, yeah. And the other thing too is like you as a player like Tony, someone who's physical, who can be an asset to the tribe in the early stages, all you have to do is sit in the hammock, collect firewood when somebody starts to think you're not working, and then go kill it in the challenges. That's all you got to do. You don't have to scheme at all. People will come to you because you're needed. And so they need you on their side at that time. Like, why are you scheming? Why are you doing this day two? It's too early.
Tyson, how much did it mess with the survivors that they called this season game changers? That you guys are the people that changed the game. You all made big moves. It's all about big moves with you guys. You guys are the craziest Survivor players ever. It seems like that very few players want to sort of just like, let's ride this thing out.
Yeah. It's like they got together with a team of psychologists and were like, how can we trick these players into being crazy and pulling off or trying to pull off crazy moves and being super aggressive.
Right.
Well, let's call them game changers and let's tell them all that they're legends and that they're known for changing the game for being wacky game changers. Okay, that's going to do it. Yeah, it did it. It worked. Mission accomplished.
Right. But are the crazy moves landing in your mind?
No. Not at all. The crazy moves hardly ever land.
Like, I feel like we're seeing a lot of swings and misses out there.
Yeah, and those are the best. They're so good. Swing and a miss. Oh. Winning the game of Survivor is lots of little moves, prepping you for future moves. And if you have to do a big move, it better be perfectly timed because you're only going to get one shot at one big move, and then you're in the driver's seat.
Right. So you sort of, you are like working your way through and then just putting yourself into the position where you're going to like the mob. That's how the mob works.
Yeah. It's like with a big move, it's not about making as many big moves as you can in the game. It's timing the one perfect big move. If you have to make a big move, if you don't have to make a big move, then never do it. But the second you make one, you're target number one. If that move lands. And if it doesn't land, you're out. Like, my move was getting Aris out and then Vetus. And I know it was early, but it was kind of the only time that I was certain that I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to make that move. And from that point, I just had to grab the game by the throat and ride it out.
Yeah.
And that's the closer to the end that you are forced to make a move like that, the better. Like, if you can have to make that move like final six or final five, at that point, you pretty much are sitting in the majority if your move works out. Mm-hmm.
But there are other moves that need to be made where, you know, you made that big move back in Bloodwater where you took out Aris's side. And then
yes.
You had your own like group of seven or eight people. But then you had to like, you know, head off another move from being made against you by bringing
yes.
Sierra in. So because there were other people that were talking about, okay, now is our chance. Now we have to make our big move
yeah.
against Tyson. And you were able to
yeah.
hold them off from that. So there is a lot of work that needs to be done. It's not just one move, but it's sort of
it's
like
getting the yeah.
chapter.
It's baby moves.
Right.
It's baby moves up to the big move. And then once it's the big move, it's defense, preemptive defense.
Oh, that's interesting.
At that point, because you know you're the target, and so you have to go after the people that you really think, you know, it's
right.
Rob, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but Survivor is a complex game. And yeah, that's it. It's so complex and it's hard and it's a tricky balance and there's so much luck to it. But it really is like, don't do the big move unless you absolutely have to win the game.
Yeah, I agree.
And from there on out, it's preemptive defense.
Yeah, so I like this.
It's being one step ahead of everybody that is coming after you because now you're the front runner or you made the big move and everybody needs to get out the person who did the big move because now that will be their big move. So, yeah, that's it in a nutshell. Anybody who follows those guidelines should win the game of Survivor.
So you could be sort of just, you know, balls out from the start. But what you're advocating is sort of like conservative, 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 like a, you know, cobra strike, make your move, and then sort of a aggressive defense. Where if this is a football game, you're not like playing guys like 20 yards off the line of scrimmage. It's a sort of like a aggressive defense then.
Yeah, you're definitely going in for the sack every time.
Yeah, okay.
So and Ceri's like the perfect example of the slow play. Like her getting Zeke to go and make the sales pitch as to why they should get rid of Haley before Michaela, that's the play that you should be doing 99% of the time in Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Getting someone who's more willing to share the idea, let them come up with it on their own a little bit, the same way that Brad got Ty to vote Caleb out. Those are the plays you should be making.
So I wanted to look at the events from last night through the Ceri perspective because she's sort of in that position that you were in when you wanted to make the move against Aris, that she has her group with Andrea and seemingly with Zeke. She had Ozzy on board, but Zeke was somebody in that group that felt like, hey, I'm not in the leadership of this group. Why should I go along with this plan? Is that more on Ceri in terms of, and Andrea, I guess, by proxy, to not sell Zeke on why they need to do this? Or is this more on Zeke because he is trying to be too ambitious with his goals in the game?
It's probably at a crossroads there, where if it's benefiting Ceri and Andrea, and Zeke also feels like he needs to be in the driver's seat a little bit more, and they let him be in the driver's seat a little bit more, or think he's in the driver's seat, then that works out to everyone's initial goals, but ultimately Ceree and Andrea Moore.
Mm-hmm. Does that make it a bad move if Zeke wasn't on board and they couldn't convince him to do it?
So if Ceree went to Zeke and was like, this is why we should vote out Haley instead of Michaela, and
Zeke
said
no?
No,
I'm talking about in the second hour when they want to make a move, they want to vote out Sierra. And Zeke actually says to them, hey, I'll be fine if we write down Sierra or Brad's name. And he's ultimately saying, like, you know what? That's their move. That's not the move I want to make.
Yes, that's poor execution on Ceree and Andrea, because I don't know. Everybody plays with a little bit different style. And I like to play more in the background, where I like to go and say, hey, Zeke, who do you want out? Let's talk about who you want out. And he'll come up with some names. And if any of those names work for me, I'll try and sway him towards that with whatever arguments I have. If none of them work for me, then maybe I'll sell him on somebody else or something like that. But it's hard to name names out there, because that is one of the things that comes back to bite you the hardest. Mm-hmm.
But he seemed to agree to it. He said, you know, I'll be happy.
He did agree to it.
You know, so I don't know.
Because you have to agree.
Right.
In the moment, you have to agree. If you were to come up to me and be like, hey, Tyson, we need to get rid of Steven right now. How do you feel about that? Oh, I feel really good about that. That's a great idea. Let's be an alliance. And now I can go tell Steven that you want him out. Now the target's completely off me, because you guys are going at each other's throats. Mm-hmm.
And you feel like that's what Zeke was trying to set up here?
I feel like Zeke felt like he didn't have the say. He wasn't in control. And that's what he actually said, because he wasn't the one like directing the direction of the game.
Mm-hmm.
In Survivor, there are people that don't know what's going on the entire time, and they watch the game go by, and some of them make it far and some of them don't, but they don't have a clue what's happening inside the game. And then there's people who direct the entire thing or are privy to all the information and everything going down. And that's probably what Zeke was used to in his first season, is knowing the direction of the game, knowing the future moves before they happened, knowing the current moves and why they're happening, and knowing who's on board. And it sounds like in this moment, he didn't know, and being left out of the loop when generally in past experiences, you've been in the loop. That's hard. Now you're playing blind, and that's not a place you like to be, especially if you're used to being in the position to know all the information.
I just feel like it's counterintuitive, where he's saying like, hey, I don't know if I can trust the information I'm getting from these people. It's almost like that I'm, you know, driving the plane, but they have very limited visibility. Like, I feel like, let's use a car for this metaphor, because I was going to say slow down. I don't know how much you could slow down with a plane. I think at some point when you slow down enough, you fall out of the sky. But if I'm driving in the rain and I can't see very well, I feel like that I would not drive more aggressively. I feel like I would say, like, let me slow this down until I can sort of like get my bearings of what's going on out there.
Yeah, I think at that moment you have to step back and figure out what's best for you, and then take that route, not just openly oppose it because you aren't privy to all the background information on the idea. That's correct. But you do need to, you know, get yourself into the place where you can start directing whatever moves need to be made, or at least be, you know, if somebody's coming to you and just saying, hey, we're voting out this person, why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, does that benefit me? How are they coming up with that? What is their ultimate goal, and what direction are they wanting to take this game versus where I want it to go? And so if you aren't part of the reasoning or the decision, that's where I think it starts becoming concerning. Because if people are coming to you and they already have the plan in place and they already have the idea, you're being left out of the discussions.
So I watched one of the secret scenes where Zeke is talking about the game where it is right now. And I'm not sure at what point, because we saw two episodes, that this secret scene was filmed. But he talked about it as that this was in terms of like the Nuku group, you know, Brad's original tribe. They were going to be basically just picking off everybody from the other tribe. That's why it was a battle of Haley versus Michaela. Which person are we going for from the old original tribe that's in the minority? So it seemed like that everybody was happy to keep doing that. And he said, you know, the reason that everybody feels so good about this is because everybody here feels like they have their five set up and their four set up, including him. And it made no sense to go away from that, to start picking at the Nuku people. But it's the opposite of what he ended up doing on the TV show, what he was talking about in his confessional.
Okay. Then his mind had changed somewhere along the way.
Yeah. I'm just not sure.
Or his mind had changed back.
Where we got to this drastic shift of, okay, I'm going to not only start the war of, okay, Ceree wants to go after Sierra.
The internal war.
But why he felt like that he needed to turn on the people that he was with.
That's the way Zeke plays. He played that way last time.
Yeah.
He you know, you get to that. And that's, you know, the way people, some people play. Tony did it too. They jumped back and forth. So anyways, I think that that's just the style that Zeke plays. The second he's maybe a little bit too paranoid, and that can get you to, and that's, it's all about timing too. At some point, that alliance is going to implode. And you want to be on the front end of the implosion so that you can guide which direction it goes. But if you go too early, now you're all of a sudden out of the game because the guys that you left are now making decisions.
Yeah. And sort of at the core of this was Zeke turning on Andrea, where he's even said in that confessional that I watched, he said that he thinks Andrea will turn on him at a moment's notice. And Zeke and Andrea, I don't know how much you know about this, that they knew each other from before the game had started, that they had like mutual friends, and they actually played in like a fake Survivor season together. But it was another one of these instances that we're talking about where people sort of have a existing relationship and then that falls apart. That person never sees that person gunning for them in the game. I mean, do you think that Zeke potentially might have felt that way, that, oh, Andrea is going to screw me over later because of what happened with Andrea and Francesca back in Survivor Karamoan?
Yes, I think so. And also you have to understand that on a returning season, you've had people you thought you could trust turn on you for the most part. Most people have had that feeling that haven't won the game of Survivor or that even have won the game of Survivor. And you would prefer to do that to someone else than have them do that to you. Mm-hmm. So Zeke even saying that, you may be protecting yourself emotionally even. Like, because that would sting, you know, if you go out with your best friend and they end up backstabbing you and you go, like, you would be hurt. Whereas if you did that to them, you'd feel much better about it, probably.
Right, right. And similar to Jervis and Aris back in Bloodwater.
Yeah, Bloodwater, exactly. And yeah, that's honestly, I think that's a big part of it is just... because you feel like the extra fool when your best pal in the game is the one that votes you out.
So is it a disadvantage to play Survivor with your friends?
Yes.
Yeah. But there has to be like some sort of a sweet spot, right?
I think if you can be on good terms with everybody and well-respected, but not necessarily known to be best friends or really close with anybody, mm-hmm. then it's okay.
Okay.
But if you go out there, like me and Coach on Heroes versus Villains, it was just like... I couldn't do enough to get away from Coach, and everybody just paired me and Coach together no matter what. And so it was just like, please, let's just vote him out so I can start playing my game. Because I can't with this guy, with everyone thinking that we're so attached at the hip that neither one of us will get rid of each other.
Would Coach have ever forgiven you if you pushed for him to get voted out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
All right. I mean, he's good with, you know, Steven and JT from when they got him voted out in Token Sheens, right?
Yeah, and I'm good with Coach, even though he pretty much got me voted out in Token Sheens.
Let's talk a little bit about JT, because I would love to get your take on what he was up to this season. Obviously, Steven viewed things one way with JT. A lot of other people viewed things through...
Everyone else viewed him differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think about JT 3.0? And how do you compare him when you talk about Ozzy's lack of an evolution in your mind?
Exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down to the pep talk that was given before this season. Be a game changer. Oh, okay. I'll be a game changer. Wrong move, dude. You should have not been a game changer and tried to win the season. Here's the thing. I mean, honestly, if you listen to this and go in as a new player, this podcast would change your entire
life
outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your entire life. It's when you go out to Survivor. Well, let me think. Okay. We're talking about JT again. I just lost my train of thought trying to be super
You were
cool.
About to change somebody's life.
I was about to change somebody's life here. I really, really, oh yes, here it is. This is it. In the moment where JT stood up and went and talked to Brad, that was where it all went wrong. And that's where it was going to all go wrong, no matter what. He doesn't know where Brad's head's at because he's been separated from Brad. This is my guide to strategy in Survivor. If there's a tribe swap, if you end up finding yourself somewhere else, you are with that group 100% ride or die until you have an opportunity to refresh and rebuild your pre-existing relationships if that time comes.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment, JT needed to be ride or die with Sandra, ride or die with Malcolm, ride or die with that entire tribe and be like, this is the tribe I am on. I'm with this tribe. Brad's dead to me. You guys are it.
Yeah.
You can't afford to cause any mistrust in that moment because you're going back to that tribe. And the last thing you need is all those people upset at you, plus anybody that was tight with them before that swap is also upset at you. Like, you're just upsetting a big number of people that you can trick into thinking that you're with them if that's even your goal.
Yeah. You went through one tribe swap in your Survivor career, and you really did make the most of it. Those were your people moving forward.
Correct.
Yeah. Plus Monica.
And had
got Monica to come back into the fold.
Plus Monica, because she came back and she was willing and ready to work with us, and we wanted her back. We wanted anybody we could get, and Monica was the best fit for us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the way Survivor, that's Survivor 101. There's a lot of 101s. That's one of them.
Yeah. And in that tribe swap, do you feel like that Aris was less fully committed to that new group because his people were all on the other tribe?
Correct.
And that's how you were able to get in better with the, you know, the Haydens and Calebs and Sierras in that group?
Correct.
Yeah. It's interesting.
He was still set on his brother who was on the other tribe.
Right.
And he was set on Tina who was on the other tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And he was set on me. But he didn't know that I was outing him the whole time to the group. And he just, yeah, you can't fixate on the people that you don't have any contact with. You've got to focus on the people that you have contact with.
Now, going back to JT, do you see a difference? Because I think a lot of people have tried to put their finger on. What is the difference between the JT from Token Sheens that people were falling over themselves to try to get him to the end. I'm so happy if he wins. Everybody loved JT. And then the second and third JT that we saw is like a much different guy. A lot of people have said it's because he doesn't have Steven. Well, what do you think of somebody who was out there with him the first time?
I think he's playing too arrogantly and still riding the high of all the love and... kind of like a Colby Donaldson, like he was America's sweetheart and he expects to be that every time. And so his moves don't stink and he's going to be fine, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing is that people don't always perceive you the way that you think they do or the way that you hope they do. And what worked once doesn't always work again. And it's It's the curse of winning the show on your first time.
Yeah.
If you win the show on your first time and you're not Sandra Diaz Twine, then you still have a lot of learning to do.
Do you have more respect for Sandra because she won on her first time and then came back and played a really good game the second time and won the second time?
Yes, and also played an amazing game the third time.
Okay, well, let's talk about the third time out for Sandra, because do you think that she played differently this third time than what you saw on that Villains Tribe?
She played a little more openly, but as far as style of play, it wasn't that much different. I think she played a little more aggressive as to being in charge, but I think she had to.
Yeah.
I think she realized, like, okay, my days are probably numbered here. What I need to do is control the game early and just try and ride it out as long as I can, because I'm most probably not going to make it to the end this time. And like the gameplay we saw her do was her end play in Heroes Villains or even Pearl Islands. Like, she comes out aggressive. She goes against the people who are against her. She a lot of times would go against the people that the tribe generally disliked or wanted out anyways. And I thought, you know, I thought it was working great. And yeah, I mean, there were two other winners there who went out before her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, honestly, I don't know what she could have done to win this season based on the target she had on her back. And maybe if she would have laid low, she would have lasted longer. That's the thing. You just never know. But I think she did what she could, and she played a lot of things really well. Eating the sugar was really a genius move. I feel like
Shades of the Coconut Bandits.
Shades of the Coconut Bandits. Admitting to eating all the sugar was a poorer move.
Yeah.
But because you just leave that question in everybody's mind, or just let them assume that Michaela's lying or that JT lied. One of the two, you're still their shade on somebody else, not yourself.
Right. But wouldn't you say how Sandra played this game, is that contrary to what you had said earlier about the best way to play this game is lay low, lay low, lay low, strike at the right time? She certainly was not laying low throughout this. Is this-
yeah, but she couldn't.
She couldn't.
She couldn't. She was the target. She was the target. She was scrambling from day one.
Should she have not come back for this season, Tyson? Is that a thing that you could do, like, as a winner? Can you, like, sort of, how many other winners are going to be there? What other good players are going to be there? Like, is there any sort of ability to say, like, I don't like the field, I'm not playing this one?
Yeah, there definitely is. I'm sure she went out to casting and saw the people. I'm sure there was phone calls all over. She could have figured it out. But and you don't know. But if she had felt like she was a target, maybe in hindsight, now that she's had this experience, she could maybe gauge that better. But honestly, when you're the target, you have to fight. And she was forced to fight with Tony. She was forced to, because people were putting the target on her. And then you have to fight or just lay down and die.
Okay.
So that's it's picking your moments to, but sometimes you're forced into those moments and you just end up having to step into the driver's seat to make sure that you live to die another day.
All right. I want to dive back into the present of where we are now in the game. And it looks like we have these two sides. So we have the people that voted for Ozzy last night, and then we have the five people who did not vote for Ozzy. They were the people that were trying to vote for Zeke. Do you see it as two sides right now?
Yeah. I mean, there's probably some floaters in the middle there. Where did those other votes come from?
So Zeke voted for Aubrey, and I think that that was maybe the name that Sierra had given him. And then Ceri put out a hinky vote, and she voted for Sierra in some weird handwriting.
Okay, that's great.
Yes.
I like Ceri. Her gentle touch in the game is good. I mean, it's very Sandra-esque mm-hmm. from her other seasons she's played, and I feel like there's a lot of merit to that game, and it can get you far a lot of times.
Yeah.
And Zeke definitely now will feel on the outside of everything, so he's going to start scrambling probably. And then the other, yeah. And then you have the two factions there. So Zeke's in the middle. He's probably upset with both sides.
Right.
And doesn't know what to do, but it will ultimately, he may end up being a swing vote or he may end up going next.
If you were in the Sierra Brad group, who would you target next out of that side?
Who's all on the other side?
Okay. So right now we have Suri, we have Zeke. Yeah. We have Aubrey, we have Michaela, and we have Andrea.
Okay. And then how many are on the other side?
Six.
Six.
So Brad, Sierra, Troy, Debbie, Ty, and Sarah. And I'm saying Sarah is on that side because she voted with those guys.
Okay. I would have to say Zeke or Suri, and it, yeah, Zeke or Suri probably.
But
yeah,
are you helping them by voting out Zeke in that spot? I mean, Zeke was the person who was going to flip.
We have to see how upset Zeke is at what went down and where he can side. The first thing you have to do when you vote someone out that is aligned with people that are coming back to the tribe is pull those people aside and see how they feel, where they sit, if you can still work with them.
Yeah.
If you can't, then you need to cut them. And if you can, then pull them in. You know, usually they're going to go to the side that didn't slight them in the previous tribal council, but you never know. Like Zeke is one of those players that bounces back and forth. So he may be willing to forgive for a vote or two while you go after a Suri or an Andrea. And if he's not willing to forgive and you can get the read on him that he's not willing to forgive you and move forward with you, then you paint him as big of a target as you can for everybody so that hopefully both sides vote him out.
Tyson, I said to Steven last night, I thought that it was not a great move for Suri and for Andrea to then target Zeke on this vote. That I felt like that they could have still tried to go after somebody on the other side or have a conversation with Zeke, because I felt like that they were still going to be losing the war to the other side.
In the end. If you
they were still taking out, they were going to help the other side then take out one of their numbers.
Yes. And you always have to look moves and moves ahead to make sure that the numbers are always falling on your side in the future. And if Zeke is a floater on both sides, then, and you're going to be down if you get rid of him, then you need to get him on your side for at least a couple votes till you can have the strong majority even without him.
To me, it was like damage control for Suri and Andrea to say, oh my God, what else did he tell them? Let's shut this guy up, that we can't trust him. And it came from a place of anger more so than something that was going to be in their best interest long term.
Right. They're playing emotionally rather than strategically.
I mean, you heard Andrea when she voted, and Andrea, I don't think, is a super emotional player. Right. She's very upset that somebody that she knew from before the game did this and potentially tanked her game here on the third time.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you have to look into the future a few votes.
But what could they have done?
They could have pulled Zeke in anyways and been like, look, so-and-so told us that you told them that we told you. And then now all of a sudden Zeke's mad at that person.
But can you do that? Can you flip the person who flipped against you back, and can you move forward with them?
Yes, for a vote or two, but you can never fully trust them again.
Okay. Yeah. Steven said last night that person is, is useless, that you can't do anything with them.
No, but you can't. You obviously can't trust them to the end at that point, but you can pull them in and make them think that you can trust them to the end or that you do trust them to the end. I think in those moments, you have to, it's all about looking and making sure you're going to have the numbers down the line based on the moves you want to make.
Inevitably, everybody's playing so hard, every single person you're working with, won't there be some lack of trust between, that when you just start like, okay,
yes, but if somebody, proves to you that you can't trust them because they've already done something, then you know for certain.
Yeah.
So Zeke doing that, you know for certain that he was playing both sides. And at that point, you have to say, okay, he's willing to play both sides. He'll be willing to do it again in the future. We'll have to get rid of him. But right now he's floating in the middle and we need him. Let's make him think he's with us. We'll tell him that these other people want to get him out and came to us and told us that he told them. And now he's back with us for a vote or two because now he's upset at the people he thought he was trusting.
Yeah. Can that side get things back together, Ceri, Zeke, Aubrey, Michaela, Andrea, or is there just too much damage done? Because it's weird that they're in the minority position of there's less of them and they're also fighting with each other.
Yeah, if they can come together and realize that they need to come together or the other side's going to sweep them, then they could. Because these returning seasons, people are going to flop. There's somebody who's going to fill on the bottom on the side of six. And they're going to come over, whether it's Sarah, whoever, there's somebody. Mm-hmm. And there's also people that have, you know, mimicked their game after people like Sandra, where as long as it's not me, I'm willing to do it. As long as you can prove to me that you have the numbers, you know, prove to them that you got the numbers. And if you can get the numbers, then people will a lot of times go your direction.
Okay. Let's talk about that side that has six, the Brad and Sierra side moving forward. Now, obviously, you know Brad from Bloodwater. You were never mm-hmm. on a tribe with him, unlike Rachel.
Right.
And Sierra, of course, is from your home state of Utah. Now, are you friendly Correct. With Sierra or you just live in the same state as her?
I live in the same state as her.
Have you ever met her in person?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. You would remember if she did.
Oh, definitely. She's so memorable.
Okay.
I don't know her. She invited us to come to the season, premiere viewing party she was having in Salt Lake.
Yes.
Rachel had an emergency, family thing. She had to end up getting a flight to Arizona for, so I had to stay home with Bergen and we couldn't go. So I texted her good luck and sorry we couldn't make it this time.
And what did she say back?
Nothing.
So she was mad?
Probably. I didn't give her specifics that Rachel was going to a funeral or anything.
Right.
So she might just assume that I made that up because I don't go to a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm a dad now.
Right. Know? But it's like, when you deal with reality TV people, like they might make up anything.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
especially as an excuse.
And I took a long time to respond to her invitation too, so she might have already been mad at that. So you never know. You never know with people. It just, you know, if me and Sierra end up on the same season, I'm going to have to gun for her first, even though she's from the state, because I just assume she doesn't like me.
Right, right. You got to take care of that situation
immediately.
ASAP. Yeah. It might be the all winter season, Tyson, at this point.
Season 50.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll be wanting to get rid of everybody that won on their second time because you want to play with all first time winners.
Yeah. That would be perfect. Don't let anybody know that strategy, though.
Okay. So who do you think is running the show? It seemed like that Brad in the early going of the season seemed like that he had like a firm hold on everything. But last night we saw a lot of Sierra is really running the show. How do you see this?
I don't know. It's confusing because people were saying Sierra was running the show, but I didn't really ever get that feeling before.
Right.
So now, you know, that's something new I have to wrap my head around.
Brad was like nowhere to be seen in the second episode.
Yeah, which is exactly where you want to be.
Yeah, which is so different than him.
Oh, it's burning him up inside to not be able to run around like a crazy man right now.
Yeah, Tyson, so many people have talked about the evolution of Brad Culpepper. And another thing that Stephen and I got into was the idea that Brad Culpepper just got a bad edit the first time around. This is the real Brad Culpepper. Brad Culpepper hasn't changed, that we're just looking at him through a different light. So what do you think of Brad 2.0?
I think he's changed.
Okay.
He came out guns a-blazing last time. You know, he formed the alliance. He dictated everything. And this season, he's definitely got a more mild Tyson-esque approach to make sure that everyone at least feels like you're with them, even if you don't want them
to
be with you.
Hold on. Are you saying that he's not actually playing WWMD, but he's actually playing WWTD?
No. Rob, you're going to get me in trouble with my friends here.
With Brad?
Brad and Monica. No, you're not going to get me in trouble.
I don't
with
think
them.
They listen I to think- the show.
They might.
Maybe. If you're on it, maybe.
If I'm on it. Yeah. I know, but Brad really is like, he's pulling everyone in, whether he needs them or not, as much as he can. And he's, you know, letting other people feel like they're calling the shots. And, you know, letting Sierra be the kingpin is the perfect thing to do in at this stage in the game.
Yeah.
Like, if people are saying Sierra's the kingpin, Sierra's not lasting much longer.
Mm-hmm.
Or she's going to have a big war on her hands that she needs to win.
Yeah.
So that's perfect. That's perfect for Brad. If she's aligned with Brad and people are calling her the kingpin, that is the perfect spot for everybody else on that alliance.
But just go back to this idea. So Brad is watching Survivor Blood versus Water, and he watches the
blood
whole thing.
Blood Water.
Yeah, Blood Water. And he watches the whole thing plays out and says, you know what? My strategy this next season, I'm going to do exactly what Monica did, or I'm going to do exactly what the guy who won did.
Yeah, you'd feel like you'd want to do the thing that the guy who won did.
Right.
So we'll see if he says neat lady in his final speech, if he makes it that far.
Yeah, that would be very interesting. You know, I thought it was funny last night, too, that they had this twist at the merge where, OK, we need one person from each group to sit out and not eat the merge.
Oh,
feast. Yes.
Do you know what? I would have volunteered immediately because I would have assumed they were going to get an advantage of some sort, which they didn't get, which blew my mind. I would have volunteered in a snap just because I would have thought they would have been like, okay, you can't watch people eat. And then they take you to the boat that Debbie was on and you have a better feast and then get some type of cool advantage. That's in my mind. The second they said one person from each tribe doesn't get to eat, I was like, take it. You're getting an advantage.
Yeah. I was thinking that too. I think that maybe one of the advantages that you got was the chance to sort of like have that sort of private conversation with the person that you were with, where Brad was sort of separated from Ty. And maybe Ty might have been closer bonded to Ozzy from spending time with him, where Ty was able to sort of reconnect with Brad and Brad be like, hey, look, Ty, I got you. Come on, you're with me. And that did, you know, prove to be a positive thing in that second vote, where then Ty votes out Ozzy and votes with Brad in that spot. But Brad says that I'm going to sit out because this is what Monica would do. And I thought that that was probably a pretty astute point, because going back to Blood Water, right? Like, there was like an endurance challenge and Monica was like just staying in as long as possible so you guys could eat more, right? Am I getting that confused?
Yes.
Yes.
That was the claim.
Yes. So that, I mean, that is the, you know, what, and Zeke said, I think it's part of the, you know, Culpepper family tradition.
Yeah. And it is in those moments where like Monica gave up all the food the one time so that the whole tribe could eat except for her and things like that. Those moments don't win you favors.
Yes.
Brad doing this to, make people feel like they owe him or make him seem kinder. That doesn't, in the game of Survivor, that's not going to matter at all. When they went to Ozzy and Ozzy's like, I can't, I have to eat, I'm going to eat. That's the attitude you usually have to take. The only reason I would have left it is for the advantage that I was certain was going to come. And maybe the advantage, like you said, was just sitting down with that other tribe member, which ended up being, but in that moment I would have thought, okay, I'm going to get an envelope with a clue in it or something.
Yeah, this is a very good point, because I think most people watch the show like, oh, okay, well, that person is going to do really well with the jury. Well, Monica only gets a vote from the jury because Vetus is trying to spite Jervis. You are, you know, gonna like eat instead of compete all the time, and then you're gonna get all those other jury votes.
Yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't matter because it's the classic Nalia in Marquesas where everybody's like, she's too nice. That can't be real. We can't award something to somebody who has us so duped that we think it's real, but we know it's not.
Right. So it's phony. And Ty is the other person that does it. And, you know, Ty is another person who's a zero vote finalist. And so I don't think it matters necessarily how nice you are. That's not necessarily what the jury is looking for.
I mean, not since season 2.
Right. Tyson, let me ask you something else about Brad as it pertains to Debbie, because I think a lot of people thought that there was going to be a really messy encounter or reunion with Debbie and with Brad once they got back together. But it seemed
that may
like
still happen.
It might still happen. But yeah. It seemed like it was water under the bridge with everything that had gone on. We saw Debbie say that Cochran told her to sort of just like swallow her pride and talk to Brad. But I watched another one of these secret scenes, and there's a secret scene where Debbie is having a confrontation with Brad. And the thing that they're having a confrontation about is that Brad apparently told Sarah Lucina he was going to take her to the end. And Debbie caught wind of that, and she's confronting Brad to say, hey, how come I'm hearing that you told Sarah you want to take her to the end? And Brad is trying to explain to Debbie that, no, I just tell her that, you know, just don't worry about it. I just told her that to tell her that. And here is Brad talking about what it's like to deal with Debbie.
I have to have a heart-to-heart with Debbie every day. She seems to be a little dramatic about all kinds of stuff. I don't have any idea what Debbie's seeing in Sarah.
Debbie can make up whatever lies, but
I know the truth, and Debbie can be crazy, and she'll go off the deep end and explode something that doesn't need to be exploded. If I'm friendly with another girl, she immediately gets her feathers in a ruffle and kind of wants to know, what did I tell so-and-so? And I think there's no question Debbie has a crush on me.
I'm going to check on
the Hold on. Debbie has a crush on Brad Culpepper?
Well, a lot of people do. He's pretty muscly.
Well, this is a whole storyline of this season that
and
I didn't
we know,
even know
that
about.
Debbie does fall head over heels in love with these guys on Survivor.
Yeah.
That's not something new for her.
Thirsty Debbie is a storyline that we have followed before. But Debbie is crushing on Brad and doesn't want any of the other women talking to him?
That could be.
Yeah. Is this have anything to do with what went on where Brad, she was saying that Brad likes Haley so much?
And I'm pissed!
Yeah. I don't know. Debbie, from what we saw on the show initially, with her like trying to, you know, make amends to Brad, that was a smart move on Debbie's part to come back and be like, you know what, we're good. I, you know, that's, you have to. And she did a great job of that. Brad should be a little skeptical, which it sounds like he is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with these crazies, it's like, can you control them? If you can, then you need to keep them around because they're not going to win in the end. And if you can't, you need to cut them as soon as possible because they're going to end up screwing your game at some point.
Let me just play the rest of this Brad and Debbie conversation and then hear what else Brad has to say with this.
Thank you, sir. Love you.
Love you, too.
And it's a fine line because the jilted girl will go at lengths to stab her boyfriend in the back. So I've got to make sure she's a happy camper.
Wow. So he compares Debbie to a jilted woman if she ends up feeling that Brad is, you know, going outside of their friendship.
Yeah, you have to make the crazy person feel number one. That's the tricky balance of taking a crazy person far in the game with you. It's the classic Boston Rob and Philip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like you have to spend a lot of time with that person and make them always feel like they're number one and that they're making the decisions. And if you can do it and can keep that balance, that's the person you want to go to the end with.
Tyson, but it's the secret of my marriage.
Well, who's corralling who?
that's for another day, Tyson.
Okay. So, yeah, that's the – but – yeah, it's the secret to a good relationship.
So you feel like that Brad is cultivating Debbie for the final three. You think that he's looking at her
I don't know. I feel like in the moment I think he's looking at it and saying, I could, but can I control her? And I think he's still questioning whether or not he can actually get her to the end without her blowing up his game beforehand.
Is Brad playing with fire, though, with Debbie? I mean, he saw that incident firsthand where she just went nuts and started blowing up. I mean, how could he trust her again? I mean, we're talking about with Zeke went and he flipped, and I'm saying out of one side of my mouth, hey, why not try to like talk to Zeke and see if you can smooth things over because you need him as a number. But on the other hand, with Debbie, like, I mean, isn't that an accident waiting to happen?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the risk you take. Like, if you can get her to the end and make her feel like she's there with you, and but she's already blown up at him once, so you already have some mistrust there. I, in Brad's position, would get Debbie out as soon as I could once I was certain we'd have the majority, even with getting rid of her.
Mm-hmm. Why was it so important to Debbie to get Ozzy out?
I don't know, because she's a game changer.
I don't know. I mean, was it just that she needed to make that big move? I mean, she had spent, you know, days with Ozzy. I wonder if maybe some of what Jeff Varner was trying to stir up at the previous week's tribal council of Ozzy is going to do this, where some of that Ozzy talk did, you know, take root, where Ozzy is going to win the game if we don't get him out right away.
Well, you also look at like how they have competed in the challenges leading up to that moment. And if Ozzy's taken second or first every time or third or whatever, if he's always there, eventually he's going to start winning them.
But it's the final 12.
Yeah, it's the final 12. But it's that's the stigma people have with Ozzy.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you're proving them wrong by going out first or second or by popping your shoulder out of socket and having it in a sling for 3 weeks,
yeah,
and you're going to, that's going to always follow you.
Could that work again? Steven mentioned this last night in terms of like, it came to be a real positive thing for you that you had the injury and you really played it up to the other players, so they didn't think of you as that much of a physical threat. And then you were able to really dominate the last couple of challenges. Should Ozzy have come up with some version of that?
Yes.
Can he get injured again, or is that done? Is Brad going to say, ah, saw this on Bloodwater, I know what's going on?
No, he could do it again. I mean, I had a real injury, so it really helped.
Mm-hmm.
It helped with me being able to play into it because I had a real injury. I think there's ways it can be done. You get medical checks before and after each challenge, before and after each tribal council. If you go in and are talking to the doctors every time, they sometimes come in and say, hey, does anybody need to talk to the doctor? If you don't, then they just kind of send you on your way. But if you're the person that's like, yeah, I needed to talk to the doctor, and go in and just have a chit chat with them about nothing, but are doing that like all the time for the last 3 days, people start to wonder what you're talking to the doctor about. And then at that point, you can, you know, start whatever thing you need to do, whatever lie you need to tell, or, you know, I have mono, I'm whatever. Yeah, you could. Like, there's things you could do like that.
But
why not?
People are going to say that Ozzy, we're not worried about him anymore because he has mono.
Well, they won't want to make out with him.
Is that what Brad should tell Debbie?
Yeah, that he has mono, and then get Debbie off his case. No, but maybe, you know, you're having digestive issues.
Yes.
Or
is that what Steven was trying to do in Cambodia, that he was worried?
Yes.
We're going to look at him as too much of a physical threat.
Yeah. Or a staph infection on your balls or whatever. Like, there's things you can do that don't necessarily have to be seen by the other players, and you can play him up. I think it would work if executed properly, or if you actually didn't get injured, you know, make the most of it.
Right. I think it'd have to be a very specific thing where you would say, okay, oh, well, now this person who's an asset in the challenges is going to stink at the challenges.
Here's what Ozzy needs to do.
What?
He needs to just start gaining as much weight as he can. So he goes out there like at 260 pounds.
260.
And then, yeah. And then at that point, people would be like, not a big deal.
Yeah. A really big deal.
Yeah. That's Ozzy, if you're listening, don't go fishing ever again on Survivor, mm-hmm, if you want to win.
Yeah.
And gain 100 to 150 pounds before you go out.
100 to 150 pounds. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So there's that. What about some sort of like, okay, this is a little bit, out there. Could Ozzy sort of like, they do these professional wrestling shows where they like, people are like, they like cut themselves with like a razor blade or something. Like, mm-hmm. could Ozzy, suffer some sort of an injury with the spear? It'd be believable that, and then he comes back and then he has to be like bandaged up and then he, it's dangerous because he could get an infection.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you could definitely do that.
Yeah.
Cut yourself on the arm somewhere, especially like on the elbow or something. The doctors don't tell everybody what you're suffering from.
Right.
They just kind of fix it and then you go on your way and then you go back and are like, they think I fractured my elbow. Mm-hmm. And so I have to have it wrapped up.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else he could do. Maybe like sort of like, jam himself in the eye a little bit. And then sort of mm-hmm. like, if he can't, I can't see anymore, then I won't be afraid of him in the challenges.
Yeah, that could be too.
If Ozzy was blind, then he'd have a really good story in the final three. So it really, everything's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, it is a double-edged sword. And even me getting hurt was like in that moment, you're like, well, if I get to the end, I'm going to win because I had to do it one-armed for 2 weeks.
Even mono? Is mono also? They're like, oh, wow. Ozzy had mono the whole time and he got to the end. That's what a great story.
No, that's not really a great story. Or even like a herpes flare-up or something, because then you're just
maybe
like,
how he got the mono was a good story. Yeah.
He was being too promiscuous in the first place, so that's not a reason to give him sympathy for the win.
Yeah.
And for the record, I'm not saying Ozzy has herpes.
No.
I'm just saying hypothetically.
Yeah, hypothetically. Hypothetically.
Yes.
And if anybody...
And we could use anybody for that example, for that hypothetical example.
Right. And if anything, Cochran already said it in Survivor South Pacific when he was talking about how that when they were doing the challenge where they had to all rip off the meat, they were all transmitting herpes back and forth.
Oh, so everybody from that season has it?
Yeah.
Okay. If one person had it, okay.
Yeah, that's what Cochran was saying. Tyson, did you like it when they brought in Cochran? Should they have brought you in?
The risk they ran was having Sandra actually be the one to go out there, and that would have been a real horrible experience for I love Sandra, and we would have had a great time on that boat, but me trying to give her advice on how to win the game of Survivor is just absurd.
Because she's won twice?
Because she's won twice.
Yeah.
So it's I mean, I don't know where that idea came from or why that idea happened, but I'm glad it wasn't me, but I would have taken the money that they probably gave Cochran to do it.
Yeah. Would you have listened to advice if, say, like this happened to you in Blood versus Water and Cochran came out? Would you have wanted advice?
Yeah. No, definitely not. Yeah. I mean, the best advice I get is Rob Mariano being like, you know how to play this game.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. I do.
Yeah.
So how would he be giving
the advice?
Mariano?
Yeah.
He would have been great.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be Rob.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be him. I thought he's going to like help them like build something. I thought you were going to go to Exile Island. And he would be there with like a toolkit and like help you build like a clubhouse at Exile Island.
Yeah, something like that would have been cool. I thought it could have been him. I thought it might have been Rupert. Cochran makes sense. I mean, I think he's the only survivor that Probst follows on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, in hindsight, Cochran makes a lot, if not the most sense, as far as from a casting and production standpoint.
Yeah.
But from a viewer standpoint, I think he doesn't make the most sense.
Yeah. Tyson, were you into the reward that they had last night?
Yeah, the spa thing.
Yeah, well, it wasn't necessarily a spa thing. It was the Marshalls reward.
Yeah.
Are you a shopper at Marshalls?
Like a Maxinista, because they're also associated with TJ Maxx.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, isn't it Marshalls and TJ Maxx? No, I'm not. I don't shop at Marshalls, but I still would have liked to when I actually saw that reward, I was like, I never got to experience a reward quite like that. That would have been nice.
Yeah. I thought it was weird. You know, Jeff is describing it, and I feel like that he has like a certain voice that he goes into when he starts talking about spa stuff. Let me play you Jeff telling the survivors what the reward was going
to
be.
The winning team will be taken to the Marshall's Lounge, where you will enjoy a shower with
soap
and shampoos. You'll dry off in Egyptian cotton towel.
Jeff, stop.
Relax in fluffy designer robes. Pamper yourself with lotions.
Yeah, he sounds like the same voice is what those girls used on those late night telephone commercials where they're like, call in. We'll talk to you. 99 cents for the first minute.
We're sitting here on Egyptian cotton sheets.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I think the
very,
best one.
Very, very erotic.
It's very erotic. And then the best one is,
pamper yourself with lotions.
Yeah. Here's the thing. With the humidity out there, lotions. Who cares about lotion?
Who cares about, yeah.
Yeah, it's so humid out there anyways. You don't need any of that garbage.
You don't need any lotion.
Yeah, it's nice to wash your hair. It's nice to brush through your hair. It's nice to, you know, soap up your body and get your butt crack cleaned out and things like that. But you don't need you don't need the lotion for anything. That's just going to make you stickier.
So you're not pampering yourself with lotions?
No, I'd use the shampoo, the conditioner, all the soap I'd take a good shower. And then that's it.
That's
no
it.
Lotions. Then just pig out.
Yeah.
I'd pig out first, shower, then pig out again. That's the proper order.
Did you ever get to do one of those Survivor like water showers?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's that great. I think it looks better on TV than it actually is.
Yeah. I mean, every time I've come off the show and gotten in the shower, there is so much grime that comes out of your hair. And like I washed my hair after Heroes Villains, we had to do that one where you slide in the oil and it's like cooking oil. It's like the grossest kind of oil.
Yeah.
And that never comes off. So all it does is just cake more gunk to you. And I washed my hair after Heroes versus Villains like 6 times. And it was still like just coming out just like black water.
Yeah.
Like almost like coffee the first couple times you washed your hair out.
Yeah.
So
what did you think about when the survivors went on the Marshall's reward and Ty decided to take a page out of your book and go streaking like back in the 80s?
He's adorable. Yeah, he's watched whatever show he watched, Porky's. They probably streaked in that movie or something like that and was like, oh, this is an 80s thing.
Well, then he kept going backwards, like, 70s, 60s.
Yeah. Every time before our time. And you're right. You don't hear about streaking that much anymore, probably because you can get on the sex offenders registry a lot.
Oh, is that why people don't do it?
Probably.
Yeah. I think that streaking was a thing before like chat roulette and Snapchat were invented.
Oh,
you know, you can now streak from like the comfort of your own home.
Right. In anonymity.
Right.
However you would say that word.
Right. It seems like that even though, you know, there's erotic materials available in a much more wider degree, the public nudity much less acceptable.
Yes.
So.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah. Two contrasts that have both become more extreme.
Yet. When you're on national television, it seems spike in popularity.
Yeah, neutral waters.
Yeah. And did Debbie sort of plant a Debbie seed on Ty when she mooned him during the reward feast?
Ty! Oh, my God! I don't know. She just mooned me.
That's an old person trying to be playful.
Which
like,
one?
Would a young person do? Debbie.
Yeah. Now,
Ty's okay. He's playful that he gets a pass. I think everybody thought it was cute. He's not intimidating. You don't feel like sexually like assaulted in any way by his nudity. Debbie is maybe a little more aggressive. And luckily, Ty, the playful one, was the recipient. So... It was okay, but a lot of people probably would have at that point been like, well, Debbie's enemy number one now that she mooned me.
Yeah, the moon, I think, is more of an aggressive action than the streak. The streak is just like, woo, I'm streaking. But the moon, you are pointing the moon at somebody. That is aimed at a person.
Yeah.
Right? Unless you're in like a moving car. A moon from a car is probably more similar to streaking. But when you are like calling somebody's name and then pointing your bare rear end at them,
Your leathery rear end.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's too much.
That is too much. Were you buying the Debbie is drunk?
I don't know. Debbie's so crazy. I don't know what to believe with her. I think that's why I'd have to vote her out.
When I talked to Haley this morning, she said she knew while it was happening that Debbie was not drunk, because Debbie would talk a lot about how she doesn't like drinking. And it did seem like that she got very drunk really quickly.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe if she had one of those suit jackets like Nathan For You had, where it one sucked out all the alcohol and replaced it with apple juice and then guzzle it. Maybe that would have worked better for her.
Also, I think Debbie was acting unlike any other drunk person I've ever encountered in my life.
Yeah.
She's acting like
somebody. What would a drunk person do?
Yeah, she's on like acting like somebody on, I don't know, like some sort of like flocka or something like that.
Yeah, she almost chomped somebody's face thinking that's what drunk people do.
Yeah, have you ever been at a party where somebody's doing...
Ty! Oh my God! I don't want to move! She just mooned me!
Yeah. I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, I think she's probably just, maybe she's never encountered a drunk person before. And just like, I saw a drunk person on portrayed on TV in a TV show I watched. I'll just act like that.
I saw that Porky's movie, too.
Yeah, exactly. She and Ty both saw the same Porky's movie or the trilogy. They're probably fans of the entire trilogy.
All right, Ty, I want to get into some of the questions we have for you from the listeners of the podcast, okay?
Okay.
So let's start off with a question with John Bernard Kenny, who says, Ceree's vote for Sierra. Can you please explain? So what was Ceree going for here?
Ceree was going for some level of mistrust on Sierra's part. Sierra being like, who voted for me? Who told that person to vote for me? Just planting a seed of you know, something in Sierra to make her react.
Okay.
I think that's what I like that move. I think if she could have gotten like one or two people to vote that way, then that would have been, you know, really good. If she could have gotten, you know, a few people to vote Sierra.
But can you trust another person to keep the secret?
That's the thing. That's where the balance is, Rob.
Yeah. Do you think that Sierra is getting a little cocky last night after she referred to herself?
Guess what? There's a new sheriff in town.
There's a new sheriff in town, Tyson.
Yeah, arrogance never bodes well on Survivor, right? That's just the foreshadowing to the downfall.
Now, is that technically your town? Is she close enough that you guys are, that she's the sheriff of where you live?
No.
Okay.
Not even, not the same, not even, not the same zip code, not even maybe the same area code.
Okay. How do you become sheriff? Is it like sort of just like a rank, or is there an election for a sheriff?
For a real sheriff, I think there's an election.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe that there was that a fan vote?
Yeah. If it's a fan vote, then maybe I could be sheriff, or maybe I think Sierra has some work to do before there's enough fans that
Tyson,
vote her to be sheriff.
Speaking of fan votes, did you get the bad news yet this week?
No.
Oh, well, over on CBS.com, you and I were in the final eight of the all-time Heroes and Villains tournament.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yes. Well, it was pretty good until last week when I was matched up in the final four villains against Boston Rob, and you were matched up against Tony, and guess what? We're both out.
Really? Tony beat me even after this season and everything I'd talked about?
Yeah, nobody listened to you.
He's harmless as a kitty cat.
Yeah. And Boston Rob knocked me out again.
Gah. Why does he keep doing that to you?
I don't know. I don't know. But I didn't want to campaign for it, because it was the kind of thing where then if I beat him, then people were going to say it's only because of the podcast. And so it was like a lose-lose for me, where even if I won, people would say, and you know what, let's just be real. I'm like, you know, I don't deserve to be, it was probably just because of the podcast that I even got to the spot that I was. So.
Well, and here's the other thing, Rob.
What's that?
You and I are heroes.
Yes. Yes. At least you were on the villain's tribe.
I was on the villain's tribe. Yeah. But still, I'm like the hero to Joe Sixpack and John Everyman.
Yeah, that's right. So speaking of Tony being a kitty cat, Kirsten writes in and says, do you think that kitten fur perfume would have helped Haley's game?
Why Haley? Just because she got voted out?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it could have helped Ozzy's game, too.
Yeah, it could have helped anybody's game. I think so. I think smelling nice that far into the game definitely would have helped.
Hmm. Yeah. Although I watched the Ponderosa video and Ozzy came back and Haley said that Ozzy didn't smell that bad.
Well, he's in his natural element. And when you're spending, you know, 16 hours a day in saltwater fishing while the rest of the tribe is scheming against you, you're going to smell definitely a lot better than they are.
Is that part of the secret of Ozzy's survivor success, that that he doesn't smell bad because he's in the water so much?
Yeah, it's secret to his success, but it's also the secret to his demise.
Yeah, so the water both brings a healing property and then also hurts him.
Death, yes.
Yeah. You know, it would be interesting. You know, Ozzy was one of the people that was, you know, one of the standouts from Micronesia, but he didn't go to Heroes versus Villains. And that was a season where you guys didn't spend a lot of time in the water, right? It was very too choppy.
It wasn't too. Yeah, maybe it was too choppy. I've always hoped for a water season.
Yeah.
But I never have really gotten a real good. I want him to open a challenge where they're like, OK, here's a mile swim. I'll be like, okay, wow. I got this.
Yeah. But I wonder how Ozzy would do if he was to play in a fifth time. And now it looks like they're just going to, you know, play in Fiji for a while. But if he was on one of those seasons like a Token Sheens or one of these other seasons where they just were not doing a lot of stuff underwater, I wonder.
Where there was no fishing available.
Although, I think in South Pacific, I remember him doing a lot of going in the water a lot. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
He was still fishing. Anywhere where you couldn't spearfish, he would do better at.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. And in his four times playing, he hasn't been in that spot.
Yeah, and he's not smart enough to figure out not to go fishing on his own.
Let's not say he's not smart.
He loves fishing too much to not go fishing.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
Or he loves fish too much. We don't know. One of the two.
You know, it is very high in the good fats, like omega-3s.
Yeah, that is true. But so is krill, which are what the fish eat.
Yeah. Tyson, could you, if you went back now, win that hanging on the pole challenge? Could you? Do you still have it? Or are you, like Ozzy, maybe past your prime of holding on to poles?
I'm definitely past my prime. Holding on to poles, I don't know. I would have liked to be up there and see. You could tell who was comfortable in, and I think Michaela made the wrong. Michaela looked comfortable, and I don't know how comfortable she was up there, but she had the right idea, where you sit on the squat and use your arms just to kind of dangle from without wrapping them around the pole super hard.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of lean back in a squat and hold on. And then every once in a while, like we saw Michaela do, you stand up and kind of stretch your legs out and then go back into that squat. And I think I told you this before, but on my season, the poles are always a little different. The poles I was on had a little bit bigger grooves, but was a skinnier pole. And I climbed all the way down it because people were like, let Debbie win one. And I guess that was the second challenge I won then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I almost stepped off, but Debbie was like, no, I don't want to win that way. And I climbed all the way back up to the top from the bottom of the pole.
Whoa.
And I was like, Jeff, did you see me just climb all the way back up? And that kind of gave me like a second wind for it too, because I got to stretch out and work muscles a little differently. And I was like, I could literally be up here all night, no problem. And at that point, Debbie just climbed down. And I was like, well, I can't win, kind of like a Michaela thing.
Were you trying to psych her out?
No, not especially. I was just surprised that I had climbed back up the pole so easy.
Yeah, I felt like Ozzy was bluffing when he was saying to Ty about, like, I could stay up here all day and you're going to be sweaty and then I'm not going fishing. And like, it felt like that seemed like, as a poker player, Tyson, did that read as a bluff to you?
Yeah, I mean, because when has Ozzy not gone fishing?
Right.
And also, it's like, who cares if you go fishing or not?
It just seemed to me that's like the guy at the table of like, okay, well, I'm going to have to just go all in with my four aces and take all your money. So you better fold now.
Or the guy who's like, I you know that I don't bluff. I always have what I say I'm going to have.
Yeah.
Here you go. And then he has a bluff. Yeah.
I've it was won too this obvious tournament of a, twice before, so you know I can win it.
Yeah. It was too obvious of a bluff to follow, and Ty was good to stick to his guns.
Yeah. Do you remember how long you stayed up there in Tocantins?
I don't think I had to stay up very long. I want to say like only like 45 minutes.
Yeah. Jeff Pittman tweeted last night, Ozzy lasted 2 hours and 15 minutes in Cook Islands. And it looked like it almost killed him last night. He was only up there like an hour and a half.
Yeah, he's only about half the man he was.
Yeah.
When it comes to grab and pull.
Now, I say only an hour and a half. I think that I would be lucky if I was up there 2 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know how long. I think you need the number one thing up there is being lightweight and being flexible. And I think those are the two key elements. Here's the other thing that is actually one of the notes I wrote down. If you're applying for Survivor and you get far enough to fill out all the paperwork necessary before you go on the game, you always say you're shorter than you are because those challenges are tailor-made based on your height. The ones where you had to balance that thing on your head and then pin it up against the top of the frame.
They don't measure you out there?
No.
Okay.
They have you fill out paperwork beforehand and tell them how tall you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can get away with telling them you're shorter than you are and telling them that you're lighter than you are, because those lifting ones are percentage based on the percentage of your starting weight.
But they definitely weigh you before the start of the game.
Yeah, but they also ask you.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it couldn't hurt you
right.
to claim that you're a lot lighter than you are and that you're shorter than you are and that you have bigger feet than you actually have, because sometimes they do those balance ones where you're standing on stuff and they do ask for your shoe size. So saying, yeah, bigger, because that's also based on a percentage. Your platform is like 20% of your shoe size or whatever. Then you know, there's a lot of different ways to give yourself a little bit of an advantage in those balance challenges and those lifting challenges. Like, imagine if I was like, oh, I only weigh like 85 pounds. And they're like, okay, this one, we're going to have them hoist 20% of their body weight over their head for as long as they can.
Yeah.
God, I mean, I'm only lifting 20 pounds when Hayden's lifting like 90.
Yeah. Nick Fishman wants to know about the extra vote. It wasn't necessary and it didn't make for anything bad to happen. Do you consider that to be a misplay of her extra vote? Steven and I got into this as well last night.
I mean, she thought she needed to use it because the way the lines were drawn and with Suri throwing a vote somewhere else and stuff like that, it ended up she didn't really need to. But so I think it definitely, it's hard too, because those advantages, they paint a target on you.
Yeah. But the and beauty so of really hers, nobody knew she had it, Tyson.
Yeah, until you play it. And now you're like, oh, she didn't share that with me and she's in my alliance. I can't trust her.
Mm-hmm. Right. For me,
you know,
Debbie just did what she wanted to. And it's similar to what Ty wanted to do last time. It was like, this is my big move. It's not necessarily the moment that calls for it, but this is my move. And I need to make sure that this big move that I am in charge of, like my signature move, I'm going to, you know, burn all my jet fuel to make sure this one big move happens.
To get into the atmosphere before I come burning back through it because I didn't get bust all the way through.
Right, right.
Yeah, and I mean, I had a moment like that on Blood versus Water where I gave my idol to Jerv in the final near the end.
Yeah.
And we had an argument about it. He was like, give it to me beforehand and I'll play it like bam. And I was like, actually, I'm going to hold on to it and I'll give it to you during Tribal Council because that's going to be the safest for me. And he's like, well, I'd really love to just roll in with it and be like, here it is. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure you would, because then it would look like your move to the jury, where if I hand it to you, it's obviously my move.
Yeah. Okay.
So And but I mean, it was final five and I had an extra idol. I knew I wasn't going home. So I either had to play it or take it as a souvenir. And I played it even knowing I probably didn't have to for either me or Jerv, just because it was one more thing to show the jury.
Tyson, here's something that maybe you could settle for us. A couple of weeks ago, I talked to Randy, and it was after the episode where Sandra ate the sugar. And he talked about a time that there was a plate of chicken prepared for him back at the villains' camp. And that Sandra had said to him, like, okay, Randy, he had to do an interview. Go do your interview. We'll make sure nothing happens to the chicken. And then when he came back, his entire portion had been eaten. He says that he thought it was Sandra. Sandra said she didn't do it. She said she would even say if it was her. Do you have any idea about this mystery chicken?
I feel like I would remember if I ate it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of remember that instance where he did go do an interview and we had cooked up a chicken and he was concerned and we were like, we'll set some aside. I feel like it might have been Danielle and Parv.
Ooh.
Or one of the two.
Okay.
Because Danielle would pig out all the time and she'd be like, I just need it because I exercise mm-hmm. when I'm at home and let everybody know that I do exercising. And you're like, well, everybody needs it. That's the point of Survivor. But I feel like I feel like she had something to do with it, but you'd have to ask them for certain.
Okay. So now we need to talk to Danielle or Parvati about this.
Yes. And they may come back and be like, yeah, we did it, but Tyson shared it with us. That may have happened. I honestly don't recall, but if they do say that, they could be telling the truth. Because if somebody's going to steal somebody else's food, I may as well get a bite of it.
Boy, this is like another serial case where it's like every person I talk to, there's a new avenue to explore now with this mystery.
Yeah, we got to have NPR on the case, right?
We'll call up all of the villains and talk through it.
It's got to be Danielle or Parv. You know,
Danielle's going to say,
or
what
a combination.
Are you talking about? Russell did it. All right, Russell. I did not eat that chicken. It was Jerry.
It wasn't Rob because Rob wasn't eating anything. It wasn't Coach because Coach was Randy's closest ally.
Yeah.
It wasn't Sandra, or so she claims.
What about Courtney?
I feel like Courtney could have done it just based on knowing Courtney, but in that moment, I don't think she did. Mm-hmm. Like going back to how the dynamic was in that time, I don't think she would have done it. Mm-hmm. And I really feel strongly about it being Danielle or Danielle and Parv together.
Okay. All right. We will see if we can one day crack this mystery. Tim Westein wants to know, Tyson, since you coached Monica and she coached Brad, if Brad wins, can you claim to be a two-time winner?
Yes.
Yes. Would you take any sort of like a credit in Brad's success so far this season?
No. I mean, if I gave him advice, then that's great. Mm-hmm. I don't recall. I mean, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Maybe Monica shared some stuff with him that was my gameplay. I don't know, but I can't take credit for that. I mean, I won because I watched other people play and also learned from my mistakes. And I don't necessarily know that they take credit for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Have you stayed in contact with the Culpeppers since Bloodwater?
Yeah, I text Brad back and forth once in a while after the episodes. And I am going out to the finale, so we will see them there, I'm sure.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. This is
hot take.
A star-studded finale.
Yeah. I'm torn about going to the finales. There's too many people for me, but they're fun to attend.
What do you mean there's too many people? Like the other people that are in the room, there's too many people that want to talk to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just, I mean, in LA in general, there's too many people. So traffic getting there is really heinous. Mm-hmm. Like a couple hours to get 10 miles. Like that's how terrible it is. And then there's a lot of people at the after party that you know, I don't need to catch up with everybody I don't know. I prefer to catch up with the people I know. And so that's also a little bit difficult, but attending the finales are fun. Being able to watch the show in the auditorium or whatever you would call that.
Right.
And seeing all my friends, mm-hmm. that's also a bonus. So Sierra invited me and Rachel, so we're going to go out and support Sierra.
Yeah.
And yeah.
What has Rachel said about Brad's transformation this season?
She's the one that was like, it is burning him up inside to not just like start having as much fun as he can and not care about the game like he kind of did on Blood Water.
Well, what's I mean, it's not fun that he didn't when, care. He, when he yells at people?
Well, he was running around and doing a lot of like goofy things and just entertaining himself more than worrying about exactly how the game is played.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think he was trying to lose in the moment then.
Yeah.
But I think he took what he'd learned and definitely mm-hmm. is applying it. And I understand what she's saying. Like, it's something Ozzy could learn from. Like, don't go fishing, even though that's your favorite thing to do while you're out there. You need to maybe refrain from that and focus, get your head in the game a little bit.
Are you surprised that Brad has been this involved with Survivor following Blood Water, where he was, you know, preparing to go back for Second Chance? He didn't get voted in. Then here he is back on Game Changers. I always remember him saying, you know, Survivor, that's Monica's thing. I'm just here for Monica. I'm doing it for Monica. That's her thing. But it seems like Survivor ended up becoming pretty important to him.
Yeah, and is Brad now, is it going to be his thing?
Oh, yeah.
Now Monica has to find a
she
new thing.
She's going to find a new thing.
What's Monica going to do?
Yeah.
Is she going to be a lawyer or become a NFL superstar?
Yeah,
or
why can't she just have a thing?
Yeah, for once in her life.
Yeah. So that's interesting to me. All right, Kelly Priest wants to know, can you guys please provide some clarity on whether Debbie knows what she's doing or not? We were fully convinced she was crazy in the Brad fight episode. Now she's apparently the mastermind. Was that a fluke? Is she in on the jokes, Tyson?
No.
No.
She likes to think she is, and that's what makes it so beautiful.
Okay.
So, yeah. I've heard before that the crazy person coming back a lot of times feels like they're in on the joke at that point after seeing how they were portrayed their first season. And then they can play off of that and it makes it maybe not quite as enjoyable. But I think Debbie's and maybe so. Maybe she's, you know, playing it up for the camera a little bit in some of those instances. But I still think she is not the mastermind.
Okay. Not the mastermind.
She's definitely not the mastermind.
Can she win?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Nope.
Is there 1% chance?
No.
Okay. All right.
She can't win because she's already played another season and already showed that she's bonkers. If this were her first season and she got to the end and she's like, actually, I acted like that the whole time. That's not even me. These are the things I did that aren't me. And if she had done something like that, then she potentially could have won. But this season, everybody knows she's bonkers. And she might be able to get to the end that way, but people won't vote for her to win.
Tyson, Kirsten writes in and wants to know, you said you were going to stop dressing cool and then bragged about a members only jacket. Are you back to dressing cool again?
Is members only cool? Because I had a lot of people make fun of that jacket.
Well, I posted the picture of you with the hat from the poker tournament, and I got a lot of questions from people. Wendy said, Tyson, the picture of you, the hat, the sunglasses, poker chips, you know it's super sexy, right?
Okay.
And then Ryan Muldo wrote in and said, no questions, but please tell Tyson that's one sexy picture of him.
Okay. Well, that's more of an adult cool than a
because you stopped
than a
trying.
Young hipster cool. Yeah. I'm not trying to be young and hipster with my drop crotch pants anymore. I've graduated from baseball caps to cowboy hats. That's the natural progression of becoming a man.
Okay. So if you did Survivor again, would you wear a cowboy hat?
If they let me.
If they let you. Okay.
Like that cowboy hat would be baller on the show, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it would be good. And it also functions, you know, to keep the sun out of your face.
Yeah, that's why a lot of hats were designed for that exact purpose.
Yeah. Okay. Steve even writes in to say, Tyson, you've lamented that you're not cool as cool anymore, but if anyone can figure this out, it's you. Have you solved how to make the transition from young and cool to middle age smooth?
I feel like I've proved it with that picture, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Thank you. Okay. Oh, wow. All these compliments. I am proud of that picture, though. I look so cool. And I realize that I do look cool in that picture.
Tyson, Nolan wrote in to ask you, at this point in the season, how many goats would you have eaten?
Here's the thing. When they had that whole argument, I would have wanted to eat so many goats.
So many goats.
But you have to vote with the majority. Sandra not voting with the majority and being like, y'all are right, we shouldn't eat the baby and the mama. I would have been like, please, Sandra, figure out a way to push these people to eat the goats. And I will help eat the goats.
Yes.
But the baby mama thing was definitely, I don't know if I could have brung myself to, if somebody prepared it all and it was like, here's the meat, I would have had to eat it. But I don't think I could have been the one to kill the goat or prepare the goat. Because those aren't wild goats. These people keep saying they're wild goats. They're feral goats that were at one time domestic.
Okay. Well, I'm not an animal or as knowledgeable about the animals as you are. What does that mean?
So maybe these goats weren't domesticated, but at some point their ancestors were domesticated goats. And these are a feral goat, much like if you go to a third world country and there's these wild cats considered feral cats. So they're not necessarily, they come from a line of domesticated beasts, but they've been returned to the wild. So these goats are, you know, they've had relationships with men in their DNA or with humankind. And so they're not a true wild goat. They weren't an indigenous species to the island, I'm certain. They were brought there by whatever settlers as meat and then left on their own under for whatever circumstances or reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's now where they're at.
Okay. Tyson, this is a question from David Baltazar, who writes to say, is WWMD a shout out to you from 4 years ago when you were promoting a WWTD t-shirt? Did Brad steal this idea from you? Because on,
he must.
Here's what you did on November 1st, 2013 at 6:35 p.m. You tweeted out, once again, this is where to purchase the WWTD shirt. Tweet me a pic when you receive yours.
Yeah. And I got some people. I didn't create the shirt. I didn't come up with the shirt. I didn't do anything. The only thing is somebody made a shirt that said WWTD on it and put a picture, one of the worst pictures of me on the shirt. And I thought it was funny. So I tweeted it out and a handful of people bought them and sent me pictures.
Okay. So that's not a ripoff.
How do you mean?
Brad did not steal the idea from you.
He might have. Well, he might have. He might have stolen the idea from that, but not necessarily from me because I wasn't the one who even came up with the WWTD.
Okay. All right. Then here's a question from Noah who says, what's the worst move, when Tyson was decoachifying Coach in Heroes versus Villains or when Suri was ruining the Michaela fun for us? So what did you think of that, Tyson? What did you think that was at all similar to the conversation that you had with Coach about don't put feathers in your hair when Coach was very upset that nobody was liking him right now, or Sandra said something bad about him at Tribal Council that made him cry?
The only reasons Coach got cast on the show, I was now telling him to not do. And I guess Sandra was probably that same way with Michaela. Yeah. But I think probably keeping Coach from being Coach was probably a more serious offense. But Coach didn't listen to me at all. The next day he was doing Tai Chi and had feathers in his hair with his suit jacket thrown over his shoulder. So he like went the full opposite.
Yeah. Coach doesn't take advice, right?
No, he'll ask for it, but he won't take it.
Yeah. He just wants to engage you in conversation, but he's not listening.
No.
He's just waiting for his turn to talk to you.
Yeah. And that's what makes him so lovable.
Yeah. Speaking of Suri, Did you run into Ceri during the pre-jury in Survivor Heroes vs. Villains, or you were just with Rob and James?
No, because I got voted out before Rob, I went and spent a couple days with the pre-jury with Ceri and Tom Westman and Stephanie and Randy. Mm-hmm. Sugar was not there. Yes. She'd already left. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I spent a good couple days with them. Tom Westman, I just taught him about life.
You taught him about life?
Yeah, he liked my views on life in general, I think. We had fun, me and Tom.
Soul searching after being voted out of the game?
I think so.
Yeah.
And then Ceri, I have always loved Ceri. We got along well at Ponderosa at the Heroes Villains finale in New York. We also got along. She was one of the women that I knew was going to be out there that I wanted to work with. I thought that her and I would get along well. Our styles of play would work well together, and no one would see us coming.
Right, right. And so you guys got along well at Ponderosa?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you disappointed you didn't get to stay with those guys when they split up your group?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know if Rob was going to be next. He still had the numbers at that point, so I thought that he wouldn't be next, you know?
Yeah.
Because it was 6-3, so the next vote after I left would still be 5-3 if it was all stuck together still. And so I thought it wouldn't be Rob. And I begged to leave with them because they sent them to Fiji before Rob came out of the game. So I actually had begged and begged and begged to go to Fiji with them because I didn't want to stay in Samoa at Ponderosa. And medical was like, nope, you have to stay here because we need to monitor you for 3 days. And then they left. And I knew tribal council had already happened for Rob, but I didn't know who it was. And I looked at everybody else around me knew who it was because they are on the radios and are privy to that information the second it happens. And I was like, am I going to like this? Like, am I going to like this person? They're like, you're going to be disappointed, but you like the person. And I was like, okay, then that's fine.
And you knew who it was?
I didn't know who it was. But then when it was Rob, I was like, sorry, I screwed things up by flopping my vote. And he was like forgiving. And then we went to Australia, and then James came in. They kept James separate because he had clashed with everybody on the Heroes tribe that was out of the game.
Yeah.
So to avoid just some infighting at Ponderosa, they kept him, I think, where production was staying at some resort, and then brought him in the same evening they brought Rob in. And then we all went to Australia together.
Yeah. And certainly easier to stomach that both you guys were going to win the game in the next couple of years.
Yeah, definitely. Now it's water under the bridge. No big deal, you know?
Right. Right.
Because if things would have panned out, it would have just been me or Rob first and second. And then and then we maybe wouldn't have even gotten to play those subsequent seasons.
Right. You might not even be friends now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who knows?
I would have been friends with Lex and Grant instead of Boston Rob.
Yeah, if he screwed you over, or maybe he wouldn't want to be friends with you. Maybe you screwed him over.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, well, God works in mysterious ways. We'll just chalk it up to that.
Okay. So Mar Barboa wants to know, how long did the horror last when people asked Troyzan if he was also going to streak at the reward? Did you see that they had that in there? That,
yeah.
I didn't pull that clip, but they were like, hey, Troyzan, you're next.
Yeah, your turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that. And I was kind of like, please, no. But me in my head, when I heard that, I was like, he's definitely going to do it because he's Troyzan.
Yeah. Well, and Malcolm has said that that he definitely should. Now, did you see that Troyzan? I don't know if you follow Troyzan on the Instagram, but he posted some pictures of...
of his balls?
No.
Okay.
of 80s Troyzan. Did you take a chance to look at this? I'm going to see if I can find it real quick.
No, and, is he handsome?
Oh, he's stunning.
Okay.
Stunning 80s Troyzan.
Yeah, I don't disbelieve that, but at some point, you know, I mean, he's still built very well.
Yeah.
and he stays in shape. But, you know, there's a certain, as you get older, you have to accept that you're older. And I think that maybe Troy Zan maybe hasn't done that as much as he needs to.
Yeah. Maybe it wasn't on Instagram. I'm trying to find it. I saw it on the Survivor Reddit of the Throwback Thursday Troy Zan pictures. But yeah, it was like 80s Troy Zan modeling pictures, Tyson.
Oh, did he take them himself?
No, they were taken by somebody else.
That was the time in the 80s when people who said they were models were actually models instead of just people with Facebook accounts.
And iPhones, right?
And iPhones, yeah.
Yeah. So
exactly.
Yeah, that if I can find it, I'll send it to you so you can check that out. Hope that you don't get too distracted during the rest of the show.
Well, I may not look at it until the end. But
yeah.
Also, if you are a fan of Troy Zan's work, or if you want to check out some of Troy Zan's work, I know he's done some glamour shots for Kat Ederson.
Yeah, Kat Ederson. Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, some of her glamour shots are taken by Troy Zan.
Okay, so I'll check those out. Did you see Troy Zan taking some pictures of Andrea last night?
Yep. I saw Troy Zan definitely taking those pictures of Andrea. And, you know, I mean, if you're going for the Vetus portrayal in his second time, I think that's the perfect play for a 50-year-old man to do towards a younger woman is pretend like you're snapping photos of her in her bathing suit on the beach.
All right, here's the Troy Zan camera work.
Click, 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 click. Nice.
I'm going to make that my ringtone.
Her slipping was pretty great. Him saying click, 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 in other words, like you're tasty enough to take a picture of.
Click, 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 click.
Kat wanted him to do it, right?
Yeah, but I also saw Kat put on Facebook once, hey, I'm going to be in this area. Any photographers want to do a photo sesh of me? And I was like, Kat, And I was like, Kat, I'd be more private about that because that's how you get someone on social media to, that's a big no-no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you know how social media works and how the world in general works, that's, you don't want to open yourself up to that.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I couldn't do that.
Here. So I just sent you a link. If you scroll down a little bit, there's like some modeling photos that are like in a slideshow.
Okay.
You can check out.
Let me look.
Check out that Troy.
Oh, is that him running with the surfboard?
Yeah. With the carrying like the huge chains.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really handsome. Yeah, and then there's an older one of him in like a bear costume.
Yeah, and I'm like,
click, 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 click.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. So maybe he was a model first and became a photographer after.
He was probably around the game enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, very handsome.
Yeah, and then after looking at those, then it's time to
pamper yourself with lotions.
Yeah.
All right. Tyson, do you want to start working through some voicemails that I have from the listeners?
Yes.
Okay. We'll go through the voicemails. Maybe I'll go back to some of the questions. You know, I'm just going to keep adding more and more stuff to this as we go along. You doing okay?
I'm doing great.
Okay, good. That's what I figured. All right. Of course, we have so many voicemails for Tyson this week about many of the various topics from Survivor. Why don't we start with one from Amy from New York? And she has a question about the Suri and Michaela storyline. Here is that question from Amy.
Hi, Rob. This is Amy from New York. So I have a question about the narrative tonight between Suri and Michaela. I'm coming up with three different options. Either teacher takes out the student takes out the teacher, or Suri and Michaela are both finalists at the final tribal council. What do you think? Thanks.
Okay. Tyson, do you have any thoughts on the Suri and Michaela story? Because it really ate up a lot of the first hour.
Yeah, I liked the story. I liked Suri telling Michaela how to play and what she was doing wrong. And I think that was, I think that everything Suri said was true. And I kind of feel like the teacher will take out the student here. I feel like Cerise is still going to last longer than Michaela. Maybe I'm incorrect. I don't know. But I think.
But she's going to vote out Michaela?
I think if she has to, yeah. I think she's more willing to vote out Michaela because Michaela's like, we're two strong black women. We got to stick together. We got to do this. And Cerise's like, I'll do whatever benefits me. But, you know, right now it benefits me to keep you in the game if I can. But at what cost, you know, eventually it may not.
I will go the opposite direction. I think Michaela votes out Cerise if and when Cerise goes.
Okay.
I think.
And are you doing that just to be opposite of
no,
me?
No, that's
are you
where
doing
I feel
that?
Like it goes. Because I feel like that the story of if Cerise.
That's the only narrative that could be told.
Right. If Cerise votes out
Michaela. Honestly, that would make sense.
Who cares, really? I, with all due respect to Michaela. But,
yeah.
I mean, you have yeah. a legend of the game, Michaela, who is there on her second time. And I think that if, you know, one of the giants of the game ends up going out by their protege, I think that's a more compelling story, worthy of the amount of sort of setup that we've gotten on this.
Time that, yeah, you do make a good point there. I mean, in the moment, though, based on just how the conversations went down, it looked like Michaela was more willing to stick with Cerise than Cerise was to Michaela.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so we'll see what goes on there with Cerise. What did you think about when Cerise was talking about how upset she was about not being able to win the reward challenge because it reminded her of being a parent and not being able to provide for her family?
I liked it. I understand that. Like, it is disappointing to not win the challenge, especially when everybody, when there's a group of you and you all want food. And somebody else gets it. I mean, I don't understand the struggle with the family aspect because I won $1 million before I had a family. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, I can empathize with that, I suppose.
Yeah.
And yeah, there is a feeling of just like letting everyone down and not being able to like be the provider when you had the opportunity to be. To a certain degree. So
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. And I mean, I probably wouldn't have cried in that moment,
mm-hmm.
but I definitely understood where she came from and that I could potentially even have seen myself saying a similar thing. I think part of the conversation was probably strategic, but also part of it was how she really felt.
I think these survivors are sort of real babies when they don't win a reward challenge. It's the second week in a row we're seeing all the survivors cry that they didn't get a reward. But I can understand. I can empathize. I have a heart. I can empathize with what Cerise is going through. But Tyson, not all of the survivors feel like that Cerise's struggle to provide for her family is the ultimate struggle. Let me play for you from the secret scenes. Here is Sierra Dawn Thomas talking about maybe a struggle that's even harder than having just a couple of kids.
I may not have children, but I have 30 horses that rely on me every single day, twice a day. So I know what it's like to have people rely on you to bring home the bacon, you know?
Yeah. Tyson, I mean, what is Cerise talking about? Only 4 kids? Try 30 horses.
And then she goes on to say, so I know what it feels like to have people rely on you. No, horses aren't people. I guess that's
Did
a misconception.
Okay.
Yes.
So I know what it's like to have people rely on you to
see.
Yeah. And then what, her horses eat bacon?
I may not have children. I know what it's like to have people rely on you to bring home the bacon, you know?
Yeah. Oh man, the backlash she would have gotten if that would have played on air.
Just a word of advice. Let me give some free advice to people that don't have kids. Don't say that anything else is like having kids to somebody who has kids.
Yeah, exactly. Especially 30 horses that you get paid to take care of,
mm-hmm.
or are right. actually your source of income.
30 horses isn't like kids. And I knew this before I had kids. I used to cringe because my wife would tell me we had a dog, where we still have a dog.
Yeah.
And
dog's a family.
Yeah. We had a puppy and my wife would tell people like, oh, she's like a bit. And like, oh, don't say this to people. It's,
yeah.
Look, don't say it. I knew even then not to say it. But yeah. Don't compare pets to kids.
Yeah, no, they aren't the same.
It's not the same.
So even 30 horses does not one child make.
Right. I do hope that Sierra Dawn Thomas makes it to the final tribal council so she could talk about that she needs to bring home the money for the 30 horses, though.
For the 30 purebred horses that she's the stable mate for.
Yes. Yes. I do want to hear that. I want to hear like a Jeremy Collins type reveal. And like, you know, there's something I need to tell you guys. One of the horses is pregnant. There's going to be 31 horses.
It's a boy.
It's a boy. All right. Let's take another question about Debbie. This is from Amanda from Pennsylvania. Wants to know about Debbie. Could she maybe join Tyson in the Winners Club?
Hey, Rob. Okay. Don't laugh. This is not a prank call. I'm being totally serious. We saw her make a couple of good moves. She's aligning herself with the people she probably should be aligned with. But can Debbie win Survivor? I said it's not a prank call. Don't laugh. I can hear you laughing all the way from Pennsylvania. All right, just totally serious. Can she win? All right, bye.
Tyson.
Oh, we already went over this. 0%.
Best case scenario?
0%. Best case scenario. Okay, let's see. Who's more Michaela? Maybe if she goes to the end with Michaela, Michaela continues to rub people the wrong way. But I still feel like they would give it to Michaela because they'd be like, well, you rubbed people the wrong way the whole time, but you said what you wanted to say in the moments you wanted to say it. We can respect that. Who else is really, isn't there anybody else that's really kind of disliked in that group right there? Not especially.
No, I don't think there's not one person that's universally disliked.
Her best case scenario is a final two with Michaela where she would lose like 80% of the votes at least.
I don't know why everybody is so afraid of Michaela. Like, I understand, oh, let's vote out Michaela. She's not with us. But, I mean, Sierra was also, like, really painting the picture of Michaela. If we don't get Michaela out now, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad if we don't take.
I don't understand that at all. But, I mean, I can see Michaela rubbing people the wrong way in camp and kind of, like, being a ticking time bomb that you would rather just get rid of than see explode. Mm-hmm. And so that would be my reasoning for getting Michaela out.
Yeah. But Zeke, I thought.
But it's also
like,
the
okay,
same
so
reason.
We'll vote her out in 2 days.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, there seems to be a lot of urgency. We have to get rid of Michaela. I think that the person that Debbie might match up against might be Ty. I feel like that he tends to not have a great showing at the final tribal council based on his previous
performance.
Doesn't
get respect.
Right, right. Although I feel like that for the most part, you know, that if according to Ozzy, that a lot of what went on in that Sandra tribal council was sort of like being staged. So maybe he doesn't have as bad of a reputation as I thought. So I think he'd probably still win over Debbie.
Yeah. And also, I think Debbie would really come after her opposition hard at a final tribal council, which is now kind of looked down upon, to come out and be like, Ty's a bad player. He did these wrong moves and he's an idiot. And I can see Debbie doing something like really throwing him under the bus so hard that it turned everyone off.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This is a question for you, Tyson, that is about the Merge Feast. And this is from Anthony.
Hey, Robin Tyson. This is Anthony calling. And I have a question for Tyson. Tyson, how much alcohol will you be drinking at the Merge Feast? And if so, will you be streaking just like Ty and Debbie? Thanks.
How drunk did you get at all your Merge Feasts?
0% drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't drink. I never have drank. So that's not a thing.
Well, neither
for
does
me,
Debbie.
But neither does Debbie. Yeah. So I guess my Merge Feast, I didn't pretend like I was drunk. I went and looked for an idol.
Mm-hmm. What's the most fake drunk you've ever been?
The most fake drunk I've ever been. I don't know that I've ever been fake drunk. Maybe just just recently when you and I chit-chatted about Debbie being fake drunk. That might have been the most fake drunk I've been.
You were fake wasted for a little bit.
Yeah, for a little bit when I was like, oh, I'm so wasted. I'm going to moon everybody.
Would you do the...
Check out how drunk I am, guys.
Ty!
Oh, my God. I don't want to move. She just mooned me.
Was Ty being fake drunk reacting to Debbie mooning him?
Yes.
Was Ty fake drunk?
Maybe not Ty. Yes.
Okay.
But I think Ty was... I think anybody else in Ty's position when he got mooned would definitely be fake drunk and give a similar to reaction to how Ty did. But Ty, that might actually have been a real reaction because he's Ty.
He does have big reactions to things.
Yeah, he has big, cute reactions.
All right. Let's take a question about a... we always talk about the different survivor curses that could be out there. This is Sam. He's from Scarborough, and he has maybe uncovered a new survivor curse. Here's Sam.
Hey, Rob. So back in Survivor Cambodia, there was a curse based on the group photo before the game started. And once again, another curse has emerged. The jury curse. Coincidence that Haley was the first member of the jury in Worlds Apart and Ozzy the second member of the jury back in Micronesia. Debbie, third member of the jury back in Koh Rang. Coincidence? I think not.
Tyson, what do you think about this? Is there a jury order curse? Are the game changers doomed to go out at a position they've already gone out before?
Much like Caleb.
Yes, yes. Well, that was a day curse. That wasn't necessarily the order curse. I think he was the fourth person out in Koh Rang and the third person out this season.
Okay. If Debbie goes out next, then that's something to investigate.
Okay. All right. So three is a trend for you?
Three is a trend.
Okay. All right. So we'll keep an eye on that. The jury order curse is a thing if Debbie gets voted out next.
And then who would be after that? Troyzan? No.
I don't know. Was Zeke the fourth member of the jury? I'm sure we'd have to go and take a look at
maybe
the different. I'm sure there's got to be somebody else out there, right?
Yeah, somebody. But Brad didn't make the jury.
No,
so where's he?
No.
So he has to be a finalist according to this rule?
I guess so. Yeah, if it's a, maybe it's just for the people on the jury.
So who else? So who else hasn't been in the jury?
Let's see, did anybody else that's out there?
Michaela. Michaela hasn't been in the jury,
Brad, Michaela,
so she's a finalist too.
And Sarah was the first one out on the jury, and she's still there. So maybe she also?
Because she already has passed her
right,
time.
Right, if you pass your time, then you automatically get to the end.
Okay.
So, I don't know, maybe it's like a final seven this season.
Yeah, well, why air the rest of the episodes?
Okay. Tyson, let me go back to another question that we got from a listener that was written in. Craig F. wants to know, we need more input on the Survivor pizza debate. A lot of people wrote in last week and said, hey, didn't Tyson say the pizza on Survivor is actually good now? Why did the pizza look so terrible?
Here's the thing. On Token Chains, the pizza was terrible. On Heroes Villains, they brought in a gourmet chef to prepare everything for the players instead of having the cafeteria back at the production camp make the food. And it was definitely better. I don't know what their situation is right now out there. It looked more like the catered pizza from the production camp. And maybe that's just what they had. The things you have to remember are the pizza sitting for a long time before you actually get to put it in your mouth. And, it's generally disappointing. I mean, Blood versus Water, I had excellent, excellent food. Heroes, Villains, I think after like the first or second reward, we were kind of, then it started getting good as that gourmet chef had come in to start prepping stuff. Cause they need people to be excited and happy about the food that's out there instead of being like, I'm starving and this is still yucky.
Yeah, but I don't think that anybody's ever turned down the crappy food on Survivor.
No, but you don't get as big a reaction of it being delicious.
Yeah. But
you,
I think
you want
the
that.
Reaction I think mostly comes from sort of like the idealized version of when Jeff is
pizza.
Talking about pizza. I don't know if he says it in that voice, like the Egyptian
cotton.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
But then they sort of just like thinking about like best case scenario in their head.
That's why he refused to give them a test of the pizza, because then everybody would just be like, yeah, I'm going to sit this one out.
Right, right. No free sample. He even said it that time. Like, no free samples. Yeah. No free sample. Like,
yeah.
Because people would be like, ah, you know what?
We're Can we just go back to camp? We want rice.
All right. Here's something I can't believe we haven't talked about yet. Here's John.
Hey, Robin Tyson. This is John in Tucson. Considering his answer in the preseason about the sexiest Survivor player of all time, how disappointed was Jeff Probst that no one took Haley up on her offer at Tribal Council?
Yeah, Tyson, this was a big thing last night. So that there was this idea of like, hey, if there's concern somebody has an idol, why doesn't a person just dump out their bag and get naked?
Yeah.
To which
I thought that
Ty was like, and I thought, if it's the 80s, you know, consider me ready to go streaking. Yeah. Debbie would have done it.
Let's streak right now.
Yeah. Ty! Ah! Oh, my God. I don't want to move. She just moved me.
Okay. Debbie doesn't have an idol. Okay.
Yep. And Ty doesn't. I thought it was smart of Haley to respond and be like, I'll dump everything out right now. You can go through everything if you think I have an idol. Because actually, that was one of the arguments, was they suspected she had an idol because she was being too confident around camp. But when you're the sexiest Survivor player of all time, you're going to be confident.
Right, right. Now, is that why Ty decided to get naked? Because he has two idols and he's like, hey, if I just get naked and streak, nobody will think I have idols on me?
Yeah, even though he had two. Very wise play. So just smart all the way around. But I think Haley, I think her play was right.
Which part of it? Which part of it? To say she would do it?
Yeah, to say she would do it. But then I don't know, because then she ended up not doing it because nobody would man up and be like, no, we want you to do it.
Was that the problem? Like, I don't, that somebody just didn't want to be like, so if somebody here wants me to dump out my bag and then I'll get naked, then somebody just needs to say the word.
Click, 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 click.
Oh, Troyzan would have been clicking all over Haley.
That would be a surreal Survivor moment. I mean, I think that probably production dodged a bullet that we didn't have one of our female contestants just have to get completely naked at Tribal Council to prove that they didn't have a hidden immunity idol.
Well, she didn't have to get completely naked. She could have, you know, stripped down to her swimsuit or whatever, because you're going to see a bulge at
that
point.
Tyson, hold on. In the era of the crotch idol.
Yes.
I'm saying, or going back to your famous words from Survivor Blood Water, that it's the crotch is an ideal place for you to have an idol because you already have a bulge.
Correct.
And then if nobody will be suspicious of a bulge there. So you're saying that for a female Survivor contestant, this would be not an issue.
Correct.
Right. But a male Survivor, you feel like would require more of a pat down?
Well, it depends on how skin tight the undies are.
Right, right. So that some of these immunity idols, you know, are smaller than others, right?
I guess so. I mean, is the future gameplay that you have to keister an idol when you go to Tribal Council so that if this happens?
This is a dangerous precedent we're setting here, because now, you know, that once that this happens, once we have Survivor contestants frisked at a Tribal Council, now next is going to be, we're going to need a cavity search.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to move past the crotch idol and get into the cavity idol.
Yes, exactly. Then that's just the metamorphosis of the game.
That's where the game is going. Cavity idol will happen before Survivor 40. Nobody will suspect it. A contestant will just sit there, buck naked, no bag, and then present the cavity idol.
Yeah, exactly. And then at that point, production's going to retaliate by making the idols too big to keister.
Right.
The future of Survivor. It's a game that's always progressing, you know?
The game will continue to evolve so that there will be an idol that will be, it will be more of like maybe like some sort of like hidden immunity sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like a globe.
Yeah. Or I think even something like more jagged, like a glass covered globe.
A glass.
Like shattered glass. Like they glue like the shattered glass to the outside. Like Bloodsport with his gloves where
right.
he dips
like,
his gloves in.
Like Superman's Fortress of Solitude. Just some sort of like yeah. jagged crystal.
Super jagged. Yeah.
Yeah. Then they'll know who is having it. I guess it, and then if it, it really ceases to become a hidden idol at that point.
Correct.
Yeah. So this is a dangerous precedent that we I was surprised that she didn't just like dump her bag out. She told me in the exit interview she was mad.
Oh, that she didn't do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of thought that she needed to at that point just be like, "Look, I really don't have an idol. If you're concerned about me, it's not in my bag, it's not on my person. You're good. I don't have one." But would that have swayed anything? Because then the whole tribe would have had to have a conversation about what just happened.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. They had like this. She sort of like put it on them. Like they have to go home. And it's like, did we just force this woman to, you know, undress for the group?
Yeah.
You know, that we've already had some, you know, difficult conversations this season. I don't think they needed any more tension.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
All right. John from Tucson has another question. He's very fixated on Haley this week.
Well, who isn't? She's the sexiest player of all time.
Hey, Robin Tyson. This is John in Tucson. Haley and Ozzy are two of the most aloof people to ever play Survivor. So do you think that these two, a.k.a. Hazy, are a Ponderosa match made in heaven?
All right. Are you shipping Hazy?
I don't know. I don't know where Haley's... Haley's attractions lie concerning Ozzy, but Ozzy does love the ladies. We know that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I watched the Ponderosa video where Ozzy showed up, and like I did think that there was a lot of chemistry there. I didn't ask them on the exit interview. I didn't want to pry too much into it, but it really did seem like I was watching like an episode of The Bachelor. Like they were on some sort of a date together where it was just them. It looked like that there was chemistry. And then they sort of went on a date where Ozzy went and bought the fish and like made a meal and prepared it for her. So I don't know if either of them are spoken for, but I would definitely ship Hazy.
Okay. Hazy it is.
Yeah. Why not? Why not?
Is it Ozzy or Hazy, which is better?
I like Hazy. I think that that's sort of they nailed it with that.
Okay. Hazy it is. Okay. So Hazy's a thing now.
Okay. Do you want to hear one more question about Haley from John in Tucson?
Yes.
He's got a one-track mind.
Hey, Robin Tyson. This is John in Tucson. Haley Ford joined the history books last night by becoming the first ever two-time first juror. Is it fair to say the queen stays queen of Ponderosa?
Do you think it's amazing that two times Haley Ford becomes the first person at Ponderosa? In addition to the jury... curse, she also gets to control Ponderosa two times.
Wow. It's actually not the queen, it's the mayor when
the
you
mayor.
Are the first.
The mayor stays mayor of Ponderosa.
The mayor stays mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And kudos to her, you know. I think Francesca or Francesqua still has you beat, but, you know, first juror twice in a row is not too shabby.
Not too shabby. Okay. A lot of people called in and wanted to hear you weigh in on this. This is Ron from Toronto.
Hi, Robin Tyson. It's Ron from Toronto. Tyson, I just want to get your hot take on that body painting video that was just released by Joe and Kelly. All right, take care.
Okay. Tyson, do you know what Ron from Toronto is talking about?
No.
Okay. All right. So Joe Anglim and Kelly Wigglesworth.
Not old Joe.
No, young Joe. Young Joe and Kelly Wigglesworth from the original Survivor.
They, yes. Are they married?
No, they're not married. But they are
in love.
I'm not even sure what the status of their relationship is, but they're working on, they're co-creating a new show. And so as
it's
part
not
of,
mono or it is still mono,
not mono. Like, you said, Ozzy should tell people he has when he goes and plays Survivor for the fifth time, mono actually like the tribe from this season.
Yeah, I am aware that they were making this new show, but this new show was supposedly a new show like 3 years ago when they first fell in love.
Yeah. And so they put out a video this week, and I'm not really sure exactly, you know, how it pertains to the show, but that they ended up doing like a video of them naked and covered in sort of like tribal body paint. I just sent you a link to the story. Steve Helling has done a write-up on this, Tyson.
Well, if it's sexy enough, people on the internet will watch it late at night when their wives are sleeping.
But is it?
But that's what I'm assuming. It's probably not, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Do I want to watch this or not?
Just take a look at the picture. You don't have to watch the video right now because I don't know if it's going to the audio is going to do
make
it justice.
Noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is as much of it as I need to see.
Yeah, I just don't understand what's going on here.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people do, and therein lies the
like.
The issue
I don't know
with the
who
show.
This is for. I don't know who the target audience is.
I think the target audience is themselves. I think Joe and Kelly can watch this over and over again. They love it.
Like I understand that Joe has appeal. That he has a lot of fans, but I don't know if that's mm-hmm. if this is what his fans wanted to see.
Did you Twitter audit his Instagram account?
No, I have not. I have okay. not Twitter audited many accounts.
Okay. I haven't either. Anyways.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this appeals to them. And as long as you're getting your money's worth out of it by viewing it again in the future, then, you know, good on them.
Yeah. So I don't really. Yeah. I just don't know what they're going for here. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't know what project they're going to work on next, Tyson, but I was hoping that you can give us more insight into this.
Weigh in. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have really much contact with either of them.
Have you ever done body paint?
No, it sounds gross to me. Yeah. Like, that's a whole thing
you got
to clean up.
What about when you did the Gautier video? Was that body paint?
Yeah, and that was the worst.
Yeah. Was that worse than the oil from Heroes vs. Villains?
Yeah. In the moment, no, but cleaning it off, yes.
Okay. All right. So we'll see if there's more updates on this. We might have to start covering this on News AF. I mean, that's where, like, how.
That's where
insane
this story belongs.
Yeah, this is really getting pretty more and more out there the more we hear about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Leave it up to Steve to cover it, though.
He's on the Mana beat. He's on top
he
of
is.
It.
Somebody's got to be, I guess.
Somebody has to be.
Well, they don't have to.
Yeah. I want to get your take on this. I was reading Dalton Ross's recap of the episode, and I thought he had an interesting paragraph, and I would love to get your opinion on it. This is from Dalton Ross. He said that he's talking about Zeke and his fatal flaw. He says, the key to controlling people in the game is having people believe what you say. Anyone can lie, but do you have the power to make them believe the lie? That's what makes a player special. Here, Zeke was actually telling Debbie and Sierra the truth, and they still didn't believe it. Not only that, but they had no previous bias from seeing him be duplicitous on a previous season because they didn't see his previous season because he didn't air yet. So that's not good, and it could be telling in terms of Zeke's future in this game. What do you think of that, Tyson, about how Zeke was actually giving them true information, but...
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, I like that take. It is true. It's like you have to be able to lie and have people believe it as the truth, but when you're telling somebody the truth and they think you're lying, that's like a double whammy to the negative.
But do you agree with the assessment of that's what happened? I feel like that Debbie didn't necessarily doubt the information.
Yeah, she was just skeptical.
She was more like, just like in the same way that maybe Zeke sort of doubted the information that Suri and Andrea were giving him. And he is like, hey, I don't know if I trust that. I want to go out and make my own big move. Debbie was sort of the same thing of like, hey, I don't need Zeke to make my big move.
Yeah, I think that, but also, I mean, you have to be skeptical of everything everybody tells you. You generally believe more the person who comes to you with information first, but yeah, at some point you do have to step back and say, is this a truth or is this a lie? And what do they have to gain by it being either of the two? like you have to dissect everything everybody tells you and try to figure out what is true and what is false.
Okay.
And so her just voicing kind of that is also doesn't necessarily mean they don't believe Zeke. It just means that she is aware that people could be lying. Anything that's said to you could actually be a lie.
Okay. Let's take another voicemail question. This is from Josh Spalding, who has a question about Brad and Ty.
Hey, Josh Spalding calling from New Hampshire. So someone please tell me, what exactly do Ty and Brad have in common? I'm not so sure. Right? See ya.
Okay, Tyson, what do Brad and Ty have in common?
They skipped the meal together.
Yeah, I guess so. Anything else? That's the only thing?
That's it.
They both played Survivor two times.
And they both skipped the meal together. They both were starving at the same time. And that's a bond. Like, that creates a bond. Where you're looking to bond over anything and try to make it bigger than it is, you know, that's a thing. Like, if I were Brad or if I were Ty, I would remind the other one, hey, we starved together. We gave up our meal together in that moment when everybody else got to eat and we didn't get to eat. It's our time to eat is now.
Yeah, that's it. Up there, it's their time to eat.
It's their time to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a question from Felipe from Boston. Has a two-part question for you, Tyson.
Okay. Let's see if I can handle.
Yo, dudes, it's Felipe, and I just wanted to know what you thought of Zeke's big move. It seemed like he was making this big move just for the sake of making a big move. I get that you need big moves, and you would rather live with the regret of making a big move too early, but this one just seemed like unnecessary and just for the sake of TV. Secondly, how do you think Danny would do on Survivor? And have a nice day. I did it, guys.
All right. First part, did Zeke make a big move for the sake of making a big move in your mind?
His rationale was correct. Like, if you're going to go home, you may as well go home swinging rather than going home laying down. And I think that's true. Like, because then you don't have as much regret being like, well, I tried to take a swing and it didn't work out versus I didn't do anything and I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I think you have to time those moves. I think they're few and far between. If you can get to the end without making any of those big moves, I think that's the better player.
Yeah. I don't think that Zeke is the type of player that's just going to make a move to make a move.
For the sake of making a move.
Yeah, I think he had to have felt like that there was a good reason to do it. And, I hope that eventually we will get that answer as to why he felt like that he had this coalition and this was the right time to do it. I did notice that Jeff ended the tribal council with...
Holding.
We have our first member of the jury, which means every vote from here on out becomes part of your resume.
Resume talk.
Resume talk.
Yeah, gotta have a resume.
Oh, it's early. It's coming up. Yeah. The resume is coming up.
Don't forget your resume. Yeah. So yeah. That might have been on somebody's mind out there. And then in terms of how would Danny Bryson, our co-host from News AF, how would he do on Survivor?
Socially, he gets frustrated with a lot of people pretty quickly, and he's more of a loner. He likes his alone time, so that would be difficult for him. I think as long as he could remember to stay personable and to remember to stay social, he'd be fine, but that would be his biggest hurdle.
Okay, the social game. He'd be fine outdoors, right?
Yeah, he'd be fine outdoors.
Okay. All right. Let me also play for you another clip from the second tribal council. Sarah was asked about the dynamics of the new tribe, which has kind of a dopey name, right? What's it called? Maku Maku?
Maku Maku.
Yeah. Not great. Not great. Very uninspired.
Yeah. Super uninspired. Yeah.
All right. So here is Sarah Lucina talking about what it's like to be in this tribe.
I don't know who's with who, and it seems like we're all just a bunch of single people waiting to hook up right now.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I heard Debbie
My goodness.
Audibly laughing. on that.
I don't know who's with who, and it seems like we're all just a bunch of single people waiting to hook up right now.
Wow.
Maybe that's telling of her. Maybe she is ready. Good news for Troy Zan. Click, 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 click.
Click, 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 click.
Yeah. All right. Well, they're all a bunch of just single people looking to hook up. Everybody wants to swipe right on the Game Changers.
Yeah. That's the way it goes. Swiping right.
Yeah.
Tinder.
Tyson, also, here's another thing that I thought was interesting from the immunity challenge when it was just Ozzy and Ty up there. This was a theory that you and I had heard for quite some time. Here's what Troy Zan had to say about Ozzy and Ty.
I'd say that probably puts them in the legends category.
Wow. Ozzy and Ty have moved into the legends category. Tyson, way back when, you and I got some intel from a questionable source that maybe this season of Survivor was going to be the training ground for the Survivor Legends season. This was going to be whoever graduated from this season might move on to the Survivor Legends season.
Correct.
Yes.
We did get that info. So you're thinking Ozzy and Ty are now both going to be on that Legends season.
They've now moved into the Legends category.
Yeah.
So
there he did it.
So be on the lookout for them coming to a legendary season near you. All right. Let me play you one from Sean from Ireland.
Hey, Robin Tyson. This is Sean from Ireland. I wanted to know about the rules that Haley came up with a couple of years ago for Survivor. At the time, they seemed pretty good, but with her being the merge boo twice now and seemingly not displaying any great aptitude for the game in either season, are the rules wrong, or is she just not able to follow them? Thanks, and I do give my consent to use this recording.
Okay, thank you. So, way back in Worlds Apart, Haley Ford said this was the way to make it on Survivor. She said,
"Don't be a weirdo. Don't be annoying. Don't be inconsiderate. You'll do okay."
Sage advice, correct?
Yes, that's sage advice for getting to the merge.
That will get you to the merge. Don't be a weirdo. Don't be annoying. What's the other one?
Don't be a weirdo.
Don't be inconsiderate.
Don't be annoying. Oh, yeah. Don't be inconsiderate. You'll do okay.
Okay, so if you want to make the merge, follow those three things. Is there a fourth rule? Does she need sort of like an amendment to the Haley Ford rules?
No, that gets you to the merge.
Okay. So what's
that gets you to merge as long as you're physically fit enough to not be a hindrance to the tribe.
Yeah. But why does she keep getting voted out first at the merge?
Because she's following the rules to get to the merge.
Okay.
There's more to it once you get to the merge, but there's so much more to it that you can't jot it down in rules.
But it's ironic because you would think of the traditional merge boot is not Haley Ford, and she's been the merge boot twice. Is she like the Francesca of the merge where now every time she plays again,
historically,
like, oh my
you
God,
have to.
It would be so funny if she becomes the first member of the jury again.
Yes.
You can't change that.
You can't. It's yeah. I mean, you should find everybody that's gone the same distance every time they've played and put them all on a season.
Yeah. And then would it hold?
Yeah. And you could either announce it to them and be like, classically, this is when Francesca goes out first.
Right.
The jury, you are free to vote however you will.
Yeah. That's interesting. And then it would be just like, Ozzy's never lost this challenge. And then, we got to vote on Ozzy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a question. This is from Matt Wojcik, who has a question about Monica.
Hi, Tyson. It's the Woj here. As Rob has a podcast, Local Authority, on Monica Culpepper, only you can answer the question, what would Monica do? Hashtag WWTD.
Mm-hmm.
What would Monica do, Tyson?
In what instance or circumstance? In all circumstances and instances?
I guess so. He didn't really specify.
Yeah, he didn't specify at all. What was the circumstance where Brad used that?
Well, he did say about the merge feast. And then he just said the rest of the time that he was going to play this exactly like how Monica would.
So Monica, at the merge, what she was doing was she had already kind of been alienated by Tina because Tina told her she was going to bump her up from sixth place to fifth place,
right?
Which is like the best thing you can tell someone in Survivor. Oh my! Every time I even think of that story, it's just like I almost laughed there again at it. Just like the audacity of someone to be like, and you're going to be sixth. But now you're going to be fifth because you did us a solid.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, okay. Well, we're at 12 right now. That sounds great. Just slot me in at fifth right there. Mm-hmm. Cause you're in such control of the game that you get to choose what order everybody's in.
Yeah. You didn't like that.
I loved it because it was hilarious. But as a strategic play, it's one of the worst plays you can make.
Yeah. Not good. Not good. You never want to out the pecking order.
Yeah.
We know this.
And, so, then, so she came to us and she was like, hey, they told us this. And I was like, yeah, we already know we're on the outs with Tina and Aris and Vetus. So why don't you join us? And then she did, but she still kind of had ties with them. So she was able to get information from the other side. And that did help us get to the end.
Okay.
So being a super sleuth spy on the other side is what Brad needs to do if he's going to WWMD.
Tyson, are you ready to segue into some Survivor social media?
Oh, man, isn't it pretty much the same as the phone calls, but on social media?
Yeah, but this is what the Survivors are saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's hear it.
Let's hear what they have to say.
Tweets, baby, tweets, Survivor tweets. They're better than a little bump and grind at the Merge Feast. Tweets.
Bump and grind at the Merge Feast.
Yeah.
That did get pretty cray.
So cray.
Got really cray. All right. Tyson, so Debbie Wanner, at Debbie Don Juan, she's got a pretty good Twitter handle.
Yeah.
She said, thank you to some and to others. Lighten up. It's an edited game. I actually know and like Ozzy.
Okay. Sounds like she was getting some hate for voting Ozzy out.
Boy, yeah. I didn't even think about that. I haven't been to the Survivor CBS Facebook page. Boy, I bet people are really commenting up a storm over there.
Yeah, they probably are. All the casual fans are real upset about Ozzy getting voted out.
Well, they love Ozzy.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he fishes.
He does do fishing. Do you think that there is a overwhelmingly disproportionate fishing enthusiast fan base of Survivor? Like, fishing on TV, is that sort of like in the Venn diagram, there's a huge portion that overlaps between that and people that watch Survivor regularly.
I mean, there must be if there's that much love for Ozzy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think they show Ozzy as the portrayal of Ozzy on the show is the guy that should win but never does. And so people are rooting for him. But if you're not changing your game and you're more interested in fishing, that's not going to happen. And then that's just going to make those people more mad and more pro Ozzy.
Okay.
So maybe the best thing that Ozzy can ever do for his Survivor career is continually lose.
Yeah. Because eventually nobody will be afraid of him?
No, because he'll just keep getting invited back and then winning like $20,000 a pop every time he does that.
Yeah. Yeah. I scrolled over to the Survivor Facebook page and I see here's a one comment that has 240 likes. A woman named Marla wrote, I can't stand Debbie. And now we're going to have to hear about this move among the other 100,000 moves she's done in her life. She just grates on my nerves.
And that's why Debbie's on Survivor.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go.
It's perfect.
Okay.
She's the perfect person to cast, not Ozzy.
Yeah.
It's Debbie.
She's good. She's good.
Yeah.
How do you think Debbie will do by her fourth time?
No.
Not good.
I think they need to do a Philip versus Coach versus Debbie.
Yeah.
And then do some type of schoolyard pick where they recruit people to be on their tribes.
Well, ironically, the season that was Coach versus Ozzy, I think they wanted it to be Coach versus Philip, and then Philip didn't want to do that season.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Coach versus Ozzy didn't make any sense at all.
Right, right. They tried to justify it. Like,
let's just bring two guys back, and then that's thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did they justify it?
I think they just said that both of these guys, like, think they know who they are as a person, and it was, like, pretty convoluted.
Oh. Well, not unlike other.
Well, Rob versus Russell, at least, was sort of like there was a rivalry of Rob versus Russell.
Yeah, kind of, but there's a rivalry between most people every season.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But at least those were sort of like,
big names.
Big names. Big names.
Yeah. Equally big names in the moment.
Tyson, here's another person from the Facebook page. This is somebody named Axel, and they actually changed their name, that their Facebook name now includes hashtag justice for Ozzy, and says, I'm so pissed off. I don't know anymore who I will be rooting for from right now. ... Maybe Andrea or Sierra, and then F you, Debbie.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. People are upset that Ozzy got voted out, but if you are a fan of the show and you watch the show,
yeah,
that's the only outcome based on watching the way Ozzy was playing that could happen.
Right. Right.
So I don't know why people are shocked about it. Are people shocked? It seems like they are. They're shocked and they're upset, but they can be upset, but they shouldn't be shocked.
Right. Here's another person. 475 likes for this person who wrote, they got rid of all the good ones so early. And now with Ozzy gone, who cares who wins now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
that guy's probably a Rupert fan.
He might be. And another woman, Barbara, says, I'm sure stupid Debbie can catch fish. Isn't she an expert at everything? I hope she's next to go. In fairness, Debbie did work at Red Lobster, okay?
Yeah, she knows how to prepare fish.
She knows a thing or two about the fishing industry.
Yeah, she really does.
Yeah.
And for people that don't already know this, fishing is not the game of Survivor.
Okay.
I guess, I didn't feel like I had to say that, but it seems like to whoever made that comment, I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, a lot of people are not thrilled with Debbie. So now I feel bad for Debbie that people are coming for her. That another person, Lynn, wrote, I hope Ding Dong Debbie and her crew starve now. Ozzy seems to be the only one finding food for them all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My previous comments from the previous previous Facebook comment are still in play here.
Okay.
It's not about feeding anybody. That's not even an aspect of the game.
Tyson, you don't even care about feeding anybody except yourself. You're going to say, I'm going to eat all the food when you guys aren't around.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to go out and get food so you guys could talk about me.
But I can't do that. If I played again, I couldn't do that.
Why? What would you do?
Well, everybody would suspect me from eating all the food, so I'd make sure that I was always in an area where they could see me not eating the food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wouldn't ever disappear because they would just assume I was stealing food. So I couldn't do that this in future seasons. That was a one and done.
Yeah. Tyson, let me play you another voicemail that we got as we're Alex Kidwell's updating everything live. Let me play this one for you.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Tyson. It's Dominic from New York. I'm wondering, do either of you have a good streaking story?
Tyson.
A good what?
Streaking story. I know in Survivor Token Sheens, you famously were streaking. What was the genesis of that?
I honestly, the first time that I got naked, I did not want to get my clothing wet because I didn't really know what was in store. And I'd never played Survivor before, and I didn't have a change of clothes, and so I didn't want to get any of my stuff wet. So I just was like, I'll just get naked because I had to get in the river to get the drinking water. Cause we swam across this channel under this waterfall that we couldn't get to by foot and would just put the barrel under there. And the water was clean enough to drink without having to boil it. And so that was the first time. And I saw it got such a good reaction that I was like, well, these people really loved it. I'm just going to keep giving the masses what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you have to know your audience, you know,
right.
In Heroes Villains, I didn't get naked one time. Part of it is I wasn't as ripped as I was in, Token Sheens, but also the other part was that, Russell would have been uncomfortable with nudity. Boston Rob would have been uncomfortable with nudity, and now I have the two most outspoken people on the tribe uncomfortable with my
actions. Did you know? You could just sense it from Russell?
Yeah, you can just sense it.
Yeah. I think he would have definitely spoken up if he was at that Haley Tribal Council, though.
Oh, yeah, he definitely would have.
It's like, Jeff, I think we need to know where all the idols are.
Remember, were you present when I retweeted him picking up on women on Twitter? I was retweeting him.
Which time was that?
He was picking up on some girl on Twitter, and I kept retweeting him.
Okay.
And he actually played it off pretty good because he's like, oh, you want me to send you pictures of what happens tonight? And I was like, no, I just want you to. Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought he was going to be more aggro about it. And he was a little bit, but I was just like, yeah, whatever. But I was just like retweeting every creepy tweet he tweeted to some random girl.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe he thought you were just like you were his wingman on it.
He could have. Yeah. Maybe that was it.
All right. Sandra.
Russell's funny. Russell's funny on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. I must follow. Sandra tweeted out, I wish Ozzy had taken me up on my offer. Told you they'd come after you. I was team Ozzy, no questions asked.
Easy to say in hindsight.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. She was team Ozzy when it would have gotten her one more vote closer to the end. But
right.
Yeah, you can't. That's no.
Every survivor, after they get voted out, they always say like, your back the whole way. Like going back to the South Pacific, like when Cochran flipped on like Ozzy's people, they all say Cochran was in my final three. I had Cochran. I was going to take him all the way to the end and he would have beat me. He would have won. Yeah. He would have won if he just would have stuck with us.
Yeah, they always say that. And it's always the wrong move that you got voted out.
Right.
That was a stupid play by them to vote me out because I would have helped them a little bit. And then all this stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Chaos Cass. Chaos Cass. Do you have any opinion on Cass? You're indifferent?
I mean, she was Chaos Cass her first season. Her second season, she was not, but she kept claiming to be. Mm-hmm. So, and when you give yourself your own nickname, I mean, that's very Dragon Slayer-esque.
Yeah. She said, just realized I could have won more in 30 minutes of Wheel of Fortune than I did making the merge on Survivor. I'm ready at Pat Sajak.
Is that a CBS show?
Wheel of Fortune? No, I think it's a syndicated show.
Which means what?
It is a show that's on basically any station that pays for it. I think they can have Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, I don't think that CBS would let her play Wheel of Fortune.
They wouldn't let her go on how many years have to go by?
Well, probably just 1 year has to go by, but then I still think a lot of times that casting will contact CBS and be like, hey, we want to use this cast character for Wheel of Fortune, and they'll say, no, we're going to use her for something else. You can't talk to her. We're not going to give her your information. And then they never put her on any shows.
But what
again
if she applies to be on Wheel of Fortune?
Then she'll probably just get overlooked by casting.
Yeah. You think she can't get a Wheel of Fortune on her own?
Nope.
Oh, I bet she could. I mean, what's the criteria for getting on Wheel of Fortune? It seems like people that get on Wheel of Fortune aren't even good at Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, that's the thing. They don't want to pay out.
Oh, so they're looking.
So maybe
for
if she's not good at Wheel of Fortune, then maybe they'll put her on. But you have to put on those applications all your previous TV exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're going to put someone on from Survivor, it's not going to be Chaos Cast.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's check in with Penner. He said, I'd volunteer in a second. Ty and Culpepper made the right call.
Only in so much that it was going to be advantageous, we thought.
That's what we thought, but...
That's what we thought. And that's what, in the moment, if I were out there, I would have done the same thing, thinking that I would have gotten some sort of advantage. But in hindsight, I would have rather eaten than made that bond, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Penner also does not love Debbie. He tweeted out, Debbie goes Debbie. What a ghoul. He always calls Debbie a ghoul.
That seems hurtful.
Yeah. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, that's I don't know either. I think Penner I don't know. I don't understand Penner. Like, I know she, I've never met him. He's probably a nice guy.
Yeah, I think you'd get along.
He tries to be funny, and I think he's not funny.
No, I think he's like a dad joke. I think that he's an acquired taste.
I think he's like a dad joke style guy. Like, I can imagine appreciating him in the sense that he thinks he's really great, but he's not as great as he thinks he is. And that is where I think my love for him would fall.
Yes.
Like, I'd be like, get a load of this guy. He thinks what he's saying, like, by calling Debbie a ghoul right now is super hilarious.
No, that's where you're wrong. And it is great.
Okay.
It is great when he calls Debbie a ghoul.
Yes, but, and I can agree with you.
If he went on the Survivor Facebook page and says, Debbie goes Debbie, what a ghoul, he'd have 30,000 likes. He's wasting that on Twitter.
Yeah, get back on Facebook, bro. Twitter was a thing of the past. Yeah.
Boston Rob tweeted out, how does Suri make the merch without going to tribal? Mind blown.
Yeah, I mean, people have gone to the merge without going to tribal before, correct?
Not many. I believe that, I think that Suri became the 10th person to do that this season. So it's happened.
And I only went to tribal once before, in Blood versus Water before the merge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Ken McNichol, do you remember who that is?
Yes.
He said, let the fasting begin. Ozzy deserves a better hand. Good game, brother. # who's hungry? Yeah. The fishermen have each other's backs.
Yeah, they do. Because they don't understand the game of Survivor. So they, of course, are like, the guys who fish should win this game.
Yeah.
That's how the Survivor, if the game is flawed, mm-hmm, because the winners aren't the fishermen,
yeah,
every season.
Jervis at Say Jerv, he's always live tweeting. Do you talk to, yeah, Jervis about Survivor ever?
Not if when we talk, we do. Yeah, but we haven't. I saw him last November. That's the last I saw him.
Yeah, he tweeted out, when did Sierra become the boss? Is she capable of being a boss? I guess we'll soon find out.
Yeah, I think that was the general sentiment of the episode, right?
Yeah, I don't think she's even the boss. She's the sheriff.
Well, guess what? There's a new sheriff in town.
Pew, pew.
Or some people referred to her as the kingpin.
The kingpin? Wow.
Yeah, didn't somebody in the episode refer to her as the kingpin, I think?
I know that Ty referred to Ozzy as the queen.
I can't believe I bit Ozzy, the queen, the two-time champion. The king, not the queen.
The queen stays queen.
Yeah.
Jervis also said, when did all these Survivor bosses pop up? It's like the good old-fashioned turf war going on. Let the blindsides begin.
Yeah, all the bosses are there now. Everybody's trying to, because this is still the moment where you're not certain who's really got a firm grip on the game.
Yeah,
but, and nobody really seems to have a firm grip on the game.
Tyson, I think it might be time for an intervention. I think that Jerv is teetering dangerously close into the Rupert tweet territory.
Yeah, into the Rupert tweet. Should I talk to him about it?
He also said, worst challenge ever. Just hang from this pole for a couple hours.
Yeah, I like that challenge, but only because I've won it before.
Yeah.
I think the only tweets I've ever had retweeted by Survivor are the ones that are Rupert-esque, like the one, right, where I was like, I'm going to live tweet and it's going to be ambiguous, generic tweets about Survivor.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to get retweeted, that's the best. But honestly, what does it mean to be retweeted?
It means absolutely nothing, but it's hilarious that those are the only ones they retweet when you're just like, the one that I got retweeted said, the contestants are probably hungry by now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they retweeted it.
Okay. So yeah, it's really like, nobody's like, oh man, what a great tweet. That got retweeted today.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
that kid
nobody's like
that's
that.
Trying to get the 18 million retweets for the Wendy's Nuggets. If he gets that, that's a good deal. Like, 18 million retweets, not worth the paper that they get printed out on.
No, definitely not.
For all the tweets that get printed out.
Yeah, they get printed out all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Alexis Maxwell tweeted, Ty and Ozzy are in a species of their own. I think David Blaine is their same species.
Weird.
Yeah. That is weird.
David Blaine. She's calling them magicians.
Oh, is that it?
I guess.
Okay. And then I only have one tweet from Rupert, and this is potentially the worst tweet.
Rupert bot?
Yeah, no, from the real Rupert. I have tweets from the Rupert bot, okay, if you want them. But I have one tweet from Rupert, and it's potentially the most on-point tweet that Rupert's ever made, or one where Rupert, I don't know where he's coming from on this.
Okay, let's hear it.
He just simply tweeted last night, anything interesting happened last week?
Okay. And how did the CBS retweet that?
They did not.
Not yet.
Yeah. So what was Rupert, is Rupert making like a really clever joke there? Or was he really like, hey, I missed Survivor. Did anything happen last week?
I think he was probably making a joke. Mm-hmm. But he also was upset. I saw that Laura was upset on Facebook that Rupert didn't make the heroes thing.
Yeah.
So he's probably upset at the whole at Survivor and CBS and the fans. And you know how Rupert gets like all angry kitten.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goes all angry cat like on everybody. So I think he's just like kind of like he's teaching CBS a lesson. He's not going to tweet for CBS and Survivor if they're not going to let him be the hero of the moment.
Well, but you know what? He probably dodged a bullet not live tweeting last week's Tribal Council.
He probably did. But I mean, that probably, if Rupert would have live tweeted that, maybe Varner would have had a little heat taken off himself. Might have helped Varner.
Yeah. Yeah. So if it's a joke, a brilliant one. And if not, even funnier, potentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So either way, Rupert wins.
Yeah. Rupert is the ultimate winner, even though he was not brought up in the Survivor CBS Heroes versus Villains bracket.
Which, as we all know, means something.
Means something. Yeah. So I don't know if it's ultimately going to be a men's champion or a woman's champion. I know that Sandra is taking on Natalie Anderson in the women's side of the villains bracket.
Okay.
So.
And who are the men? Rob and Tony?
Rob and Tony. I'm not sure what's going on the hero side.
Yeah. Huh.
And then Tyson, I think that that's everything I have for you.
Every single thing?
Not every single thing. Like, I didn't play, like, some of the more inappropriate voicemails.
Ozzy
like this
and
one.
Haley are totally going to bone, right?
No, come on. Stop it. Stop it.
Did you play that sound clip?
That was a voicemail. It was a 4-second voicemail from somebody.
Oh, crazy. Yeah, that was inappropriate.
You're totally going to bone, right?
No, come on. Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
Get out of here.
Be adults.
All right? If you want to get questions answered on the show, don't ask dumb stuff like that, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Tyson.
Okay, Rob.
Let's call Danny. Let's do a couple of quick News AF stories.
How many should we do?
7.
Okay, that's the perfect amount.
We'll do more than we do on the regular News AF.
Yeah, then it will only take us an hour and a half or 2 hours. Yeah.
What's next for you today, Tyson?
I'm going to find out where Bergen and Rachel are.
Okay.
Maybe we're going to take Bergen to the swim pool. We're trying to get her comfortable in the water.
Yes.
And that's probably about it. Probably watch a bunch of TV, maybe go out to eat. And then I got to call CBS and lock my rooms down for the finale.
Whoa, you're going to stay with the survivors?
I'm going to stay in the same hotel if I can,
yeah.
But only for that, because last time we really did, it took us 3 hours to get there from Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to deal with that again. I'd rather go in the shuttle from that hotel.
Right, right.
So we're going to stay there if we can.
Yeah. And are you concerned that it gets too crazy? Or I feel like that this is not really like a cast that's going to be like partying with each other. The All-Star seasons, that there's not like a lot of like partying with each other. The first time seasons that I feel like that there's a lot of like, woo, we're all friends. Let's go back to the hotel.
Well, season 30 will definitely be there ruining it for everybody. But
is that still happening?
Yeah, last time I was at a finale, it was.
Yeah, but that might have been what that was a couple years ago.
That was on Second Chances.
Yeah. Okay. So
are you going to the finale?
You know what? I'm sort of on the fence still about whether or not I'm going to go. It's a lot of work for me. But if you're going to be there and Steven, I think, is talking about maybe going, then I feel like I should. But we'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me know.
Yeah. Tyson, when you watch TV later on today, do you have to watch kids shows or you're watching grown up shows?
If Bergen is needing a show, we'll watch kids shows. And once she goes to bed, we watch adult shows.
Okay, what kids shows do you have to watch?
We'll probably watch Masha and the Bear. She loves that one.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, that's like a Russian one, but it's in English too. It's on Netflix and also all over YouTube. Mm. She loves that. She loves watching Nemo, the Finding Nemo. Okay. And she loves watching Finding Dory. I don't think she can tell between the two. She just likes Nemo, and he's featured in both films. Yeah. And those are kind of her favorites right now. She'll watch Barney sometimes, but, and then she watches these weird animations on YouTube that are like so poorly done, but it's like a train just like driving around, like picking up the letters of the alphabet.
Okay. Yeah. I think I've seen that one.
Yeah. It's not Thomas the Train though. Yeah. It's not like a real professional looking one. It's like a weird one.
All right. Well, good stuff, Tyson. Hope you enjoy. What are you watching on Grown Up TV?
Grown Up TV, we started watching The Leftovers because that just started. Season 3 did. Yeah. I'm going to see if I can find Fargo Season 3 because that just started. And we finished Big Little Lies.
And you like that one?
And yeah, it was decent. It was good, yeah. It was worth watching if you need to watch some TV and are out of things to watch. Yeah.
All right. Well, Tyson, we need a hashtag. That's the last thing I'll ask of you today.
Okay, we can do hashtag WWTD.
Yeah, we've done a lot of that. This season.
Hashtag click, click, click. Yeah. I think that's a great one.
Click, click, click.
Five clicks.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Hashtag click, 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 click.
Click, 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 click. Yeah, that's good. That's good. That or hashtag 30 horses.
I may not have children, but I have 30 horses that.
Hashtag 30 horses are like children.
Yeah, so that's good. Now let's go with I like click, 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 click. That's good.
Okay. Also for you millennials out there. That's the sound cameras used to make when you would take pictures of things.
I think that's the sound the camera still makes on your phone.
I turn mine to silent, so sometimes there's times you don't want people to know you're snapping pics. Okay.
Yeah.
Not like I'm doing creepy stuff, but like if you're somewhere quiet or something and it's like, click,
that's what
click. Everybody
says. I'm not doing creepy stuff.
Yeah, a lot of people do say that.
Okay. All right. Well, of course, the great Tyson Apostle, winner of Survivor Blood Water. He is on Twitter.
Best season out there.
And verified on a number of platforms at Tyson Apostle.
Yes.
That's right.
And you're also verified.
I'm verified on Twitter, but that's it.
Not on Facebook?
Not on Facebook.
How come I'm not verified on Instagram, but the winner of Survivor Australia is verified and she only has like 800 followers?
On Instagram? Yeah, I do think that there should be a minimum amount of people that follow you before you can get verified.
That know who you are.
Right, right. Because if not, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah, that's
verified
the thing.
To who?
It's like the second Twitter was like, you work for a magazine. Okay, you're verified. And it's like, yeah, but they're the intern and they only have 3 followers.
Mm-hmm, right. It's like if a tree falls then in the forest, who cares if it's verified?
Yeah, they've devalued the verification so that it's almost worthless.
Almost. Okay. All right. Tyson, great work today. Always appreciative of all of your time that you spend coming on here and talking about nothing with me. Greatly appreciated.
Nothing?
I mean, almost nothing.
Yeah, it is a TV show. Just TV, folks.
Yes, yes. But it's important. I think that there's some important lessons to be learned.
Yeah, there's life lessons and a bunch of morals and stuff like that in there that you can learn.
Okay. All right. And of course, catch Tyson every week on our News AF podcast. You can subscribe at newsaf.news on iTunes. And you can also join us in our Group AF Facebook group, which you can actually hang out with Tyson in the group. Group AF, mm-hmm. And Danny even. and see many of the stories people try to share with us. A lot of them we have to delete because sometimes they're actual crapshool. But there they are. Anybody can sign up. And but if you're going to be, you know, a douche, then we're going to kick you out. Group AF. Yeah. You go to facebook.com/groups/groupAF to request membership.
And here's a lot of here's something fun for a lot of you fans. If you request membership into the group, a lot of times I am the one that accepts you into the group.
You do that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I go in there because I get notifications for it and I just click accept on everybody.
Yeah, Tyson is just looking at those notifications and then he says,
click, 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 click.
Click, 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 click.
There you go. All right. Tyson, great stuff. Take care, buddy.
You too. Thanks, Rob.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Tyson Apostle back here on the podcast, and another stellar job by Tyson. Epic Tyson cast here for you today. So that's going to do it for us here today. I will also be catching up this weekend with Natalie Anderson, so be on the lookout for that additional Survivor coverage for you guys. Also, be on the lookout for a Big Brother Canada exit interviews and our Amazing Race double episode recap coming up. And then when the week flips over, we'll be getting into everything with Josh Wiggler, everything with why Ozzy and Haley lost with David Bloomberg, and then it will be time to get back into everything with another episode, a one-hour episode of the Survivor Know-It-Alls. Again, I mentioned it at the top of the show. If you were so entertained today and you want to find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron, go ahead and check out our Patreon profile page. Go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. You can also click the button at the top of robhasawebsite.com to find out more information about all of that. To close out the show, the supersized show, I have a musical tribute to a man who was so impressed with Haley Ford. He was our Haley Ford correspondent coming into this season. The great Will from America is devastated after Nicole's winner pick went out of the game. Here is a tribute to Haley Ford from Will from America.
In my eyes, I watched Survivor and I am horrified now. Sierra's the sheriff, it's the darkest timeline, and I am so out. I had such high hopes, but now Debbie is twerking and Ty is streaking. But we should have seen this coming when Tony was voted out night one. It's no fun. How could this happen, Haley? Did not consent. You should have stripped down. And I'm not just thirsty. What the hell is with Zeke? Why'd you turn on Suri? I'm begging you, please, for the downfall of FFSDT. And Haley, don't get in bed with Ozzy.